claim, of course, was to put the health service right.
Patient satisfaction with access to general practice has gone from 60% to 75%, and we've rolled out online access across the country.
But as nearly half of ill people avoid the GP, according to a survey, does the claim live up to reality? Plus, the Warner Brothers film studio asked for those racist slurs at the BAFTA to be cut. And here is the state of the nation, the view of President Trump.
Inflation is plummeting. Incomes are rising fast. The roaring economy is roaring like never before. And our enemies are scared.
But do those claims add up? There's only one way to find out. Stay tuned as we put those through a fact checker. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, President Trump has claimed America is bigger, better and richer than ever as he set a new record for the longest State of the Union address. He's told Congress he's overseen a turnaround for the ages during his first year back in the White House.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country.
In a wide-ranging speech lasting nearly 2 hours, he said Iran is continuing to pursue what he called sinister nuclear ambitions.
We are in negotiations with them. They want to make a deal, but we haven't heard those secret words. We will never have a nuclear weapon. My preference is to solve this problem through diplomacy. But one thing is certain, I will never allow the world's number one sponsor of terror, which they are by far, to have a nuclear weapon. Can't let that happen.
Mr. Trump also showed no sign of backing down on his tariffs regime, despite last week's ruling that most of his levies are illegal. Just bring you some breaking news. Ofgem has announced an average 7% cut to the energy price cap from April, which it says will save a typical family around £117 a year. We'll have more on this in the next half hour. Searches by police at Andrew Mountbatten, Windsor's former home in Windsor, have now ended. The former prince was arrested last week on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He's denied wrongdoing over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. Peter Mandelson's lawyers say his arrest this week was because of baseless suggestions that he was a flight risk. His legal team claim he'd agreed to attend a voluntary interview next month. The peer has always denied any wrongdoing. The NHS says it's avoided delays to hip and knee replacement operations by securing alternative suppliers of medical cement. Global supply issues had been threatening longer waits for those in queues for surgery. Hospital trusts had been told to prioritise stocks for emergency and trauma care. And just bring you that breaking news again, Ofgem has announced an average 7% cut to the energy price cap from April, which it says will save around £117 a year for a typical family. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,680 after closing down 4 points yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather. Outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Right, that's it. Come on, lights out. You've got a test tomorrow.
Just 2 minutes. I'm about to reach the next level.
It's going off now.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see. Where's the app? Oh, here it is. Ha.
What? How?
Oh, no. You're out. Better luck next time.
Mum!
It's game over for late nights on school nights. EE Wi-Fi controls help you get them off the Wi-Fi and into bed. More parents are choosing EE Broadband, the UK's fastest growing broadband provider.
To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven on Wednesday, February the 25th. My apologies. It appears I said the wrong month, so I do apologise for that. There are reasons for which I won't bore you with that. I had to get up a seat exceptionally early today. It's so boring, but there was a sort of slight justification for being 8 months ahead of myself. I just can't wait to get close to Christmas. So it's Wednesday, February the 25th, and coming up in this hour, Well, allegedly, Peter Mandelson was a flight risk and, well, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was nothing more than a jumped-up jerk. That's where the Epstein files take us, and we'll look at that in more detail. Back to that BAFTA, the BBC, bungling. My goodness, I thought they won the award. Not do they get the BAFTA, they get the Oscar for bungling now. Because Warner Brothers told the BBC, can you please edit out those racist remarks? And the BBC failed yet again. Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch told LBC,
it's quite clear that they haven't learned the lessons from Glastonbury. I think it was really shocking and embarrassing for those presenters to have had that happen.
As it's February the 25th, tomorrow there's a crucial by-election.
Voters go to the polls tomorrow in what could be one of the most significant by-elections in recent years. I'm LBC's Liam Gotting in Gorton and Denton.
We'll come back to those claims made by President Trump concerning the economy, inflation, security, and we'll put them through a fact checker and see if he's right. Plus, two medical stories. Firstly, despite the promises and claims from Wes Streeting and the new government, a survey discovers nearly half of ill people avoid the GPs. I'll be asking you, under Labour, has the NHS improved for you, gone backwards, or depressingly perhaps stayed the same? And another health matter, the young are urged to check for what's called a killer heart condition. Clarissa Nichols was 21 when she died from sudden cardiac death in 2023. Her mum, Hillary, told Channel 4,
this silent killer affect mainly those people who are actually quite fit, which is a huge irony.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The hits just keep on coming from the Epstein files and the stories. For journalists, it's the story that just keeps giving a whole slew of headlines. The idea that the former ambassador, the disgraced ambassador, was a flight risk. Police reportedly tipped off that he planned to move abroad before his arrest. I need to say, he and his team strenuously deny that. Meanwhile, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor came in for a true parliamentary shellacking yesterday as politicians piled on, including one Sir Ed Davey, who just a few years ago had praised the former prince to the rafters in the House of Commons. What a change. We'll show, focus on Sir Ed Davey in just a moment. But on the Mandelson files specifically, you may recall on the show yesterday, I asked Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson, appearing exclusively on Call the Cabinet on LBC, when will these files be released?
Well, we hope to be able to publish the first tranche of documents in the start of March. That's the commitment that we've given.
Why the delay?
We need to tread with care around the police investigation, that nothing we publish could compromise the work that they now have underway. There's a live police investigation. We do want there to be transparency. We do intend to publish documents.
But so we'll get them next week?
I think the commitment was around the start of March. I imagine, given events in recent days, we will need to check with the police that nothing we intend to publish would compromise their investigation.
To Gordon Rayner. Now, he's associate editor of the Daily Telegraph. He's been leading the charge, really, for that paper on the Epstein files and many aspects of this story, and he joins me now. Gordon, good to have you on board this morning, Sport. What is it thought the Epstein files might contain? Where might it take us next? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. Well, look, the Epstein files, as your listeners will know, some 3 million pages of documents, we have a team of reporters who are going through them still. And to be honest, we are still in the foothills of this. They've looked at maybe 10% so far. It is an awful lot of documents, and it's difficult to know what's in them without going through all of them, frankly. We've turned up stories about people like James Watson, the DNA pioneer, turning up at Epstein's Island. And although we can search the documents by names, that doesn't necessarily turn up everything about a particular person, because as you'll know, when you email somebody, you don't necessarily put their name in the email as you're, in the text of it, and the email addresses themselves are redacted. So it's not that easy to just search through for, say, Mandelson or Andrew. So it's a very, very long and complicated job.
If we stay with Mandelson for a while, how much nervousness might there be at number 10 over his questionable elevation to be our man in Washington?
An awful lot. I think that we already know that Sir Keir Starmer was told that Mandelson had an ongoing relationship with Peter Mandelson after... Mandelson had an ongoing relationship with Epstein. After Epstein had been arrested for child sex offences. So Keir Starmer knew that. And I think that any documents that are published relating to the way that he was vetted and any documents that give us more information about exactly what Sir Keir Starmer was told, that are going to be, you know, potentially deeply embarrassing for the Prime Minister. And quite frankly, I think it could be career-ending for him. I think he is in a very, very difficult position already. I think he was quite close to being, ousted a few weeks ago when all of this first came out. I think the only thing that's keeping him in post at the moment is the fact that there isn't anybody who is a sort of anointed successor that the Labour MPs can agree on to replace him.
Gordon, lastly, I'm not the first journalist to come up with this comparison, and you're associate editor of the Daily Telegraph, so I really value your judgment. Is this Starmer's Watergate?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think that it beggars belief that somebody who knew Peter Mandelson's history, who knew that he was friends with a convicted paedophile, would think that he was a safe choice to represent Britain abroad, and was a safe choice to be his personal representative. Knowing everything that we know about Mandelson, a five-year-old could have told him that that was not a good idea, and yet he went ahead with it anyway. And that's, I'm afraid, that not only does that tell you that he has poor judgment, but I think the reason that it's a bigger problem for him is that it's a pattern of poor judgment that he's displayed throughout his time as Prime Minister. It's not out of character for him to make these terrible decisions, and that's why he's in the trouble he's in.
Keep up the good work, you and your team, Gordon. Thanks. Gordon Rayner, Associate Editor of The Telegraph. They really are ploughing through those files, credit to them, and breaking stories along the way. So that's one person who featured in the conversation yesterday. Another, of course, was Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor to the House of Commons, where yesterday MPs debated a motion calling for the release of documents relating to the appointment as special, his appointment, Mountbatten-Windsor, as a special representative for trade and investment. Opening the debate, Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davey said it was time for some accountability.
The appalling crimes of Jeffrey Epstein and his associates have rightly stunned the whole world. The scale of Epstein's operation was shocking, selling human beings for sex, turning hundreds of young women and girls into victims and survivors. And it's those women who are at the front of our minds today as we finally seek transparency, truth and accountability.
Would that be the same Sir Ed Davey who then, just as Ed Davey in 2011, said the following? I, for one, believe the Duke of York does an excellent job. He has been a long-standing success, has built a substantial network of contacts at high level, has made a valuable contribution, a real asset for our country, excellent value for money. Well, that was the then Sir Ed, but he went on to apologise for his support for Mountbatten-Windsor.
And standing in for the responsible minister, I set out the government's position as it had been for a decade, in support of the Prince's role as the trade envoy. Looking back, and knowing what we all know now, I'm horrified by it. I can't imagine what it must have been like for the survivors and their families to hear Andrew praise like that, as they heard so often all around the world. So I apologise to them, and I'm determined to change things.
Any chance the real Sir Ed Davey could stand up? Meanwhile, someone who did stand up and was devastating in his critique, Labour's Trade Minister, Sir Chris Bryan.
Colleagues and many civil servants have told me their own stories of their interactions with Mr. Mountbatten-Windsor, and they all betray the same pattern. A man on a constant self-aggrandising and self-enriching hustle. A rude, arrogant and entitled man who could not distinguish between the public interest, which he said he served, and his own private interest.
Devastating stuff. Let's turn to Professor Anna Whitelock, who's Professor of History of Monarchy at City St George's, University of London, joining me now. Professor, you know better than I. They've had their moments, the monarchy. You've had the abdication crisis. You've had the late Princess Diana's death. You've had Megxit, whatever you want to call it. How much damage has this done, would you say, to the whole institution? Good morning.
Good morning. I mean, only time will tell, but I think what we saw yesterday is something new. Now, granted, it was Andrew Mountbatten Windsor being discussed and berated by some, for example, Chris Bryant there. But he was a former royal. He is a member of the family, the royal family. And so this really was an unprecedented level of vitriol towards him. And I think stepping back from that, the comments around transparency and accountability are charges that can be brought against the monarchy as a public institution. And I think, you know, whether you say that's ultimately going to challenge the monarchy or actually reform it for the better depends on your perspective. I would certainly argue that this transparency, accountability is long overdue. And, you know, if I was in the palace, if I was advising the King and Prince William, I would try and be on the front foot with this rather than wait for pressure from the public and Parliament.
What do they need to do? Do they need to be perhaps a little more, as you say, on the front foot, a little more like some other European royal families that we could look to?
Yes, I mean, there's different models. I mean, certainly there's, you know, the sort of Scandinavian bicycling monarchies yep. that are seen as much more accessible. But, I mean, I don't think it's just necessarily about sort of packing away the ermine. It's more about being more transparent about their any business interests they have, what they're doing, where their money comes from. I think it's those things that would go a long way. Because, I mean, certainly yesterday, you know, there was no call for by even those MPs castigating Andrew Mountbatten Windsor to abolish the monarchy. And I don't think within the country there is that kind of appetite right now. But I do think, I mean, the monarchy is one of our last public institutions to have had the kind of scrutiny that others have had. And questions around, you know, how they can certain exemptions from legislation, all of that, I think, needs to come out. And so just like after Diana's death, where within the palace, the Way Ahead group, as it was called, was formed to try and be on the front foot with relations with the media going forward. I do think, and I suspect, because certainly Prince William is minded to reform, that this is going on, and I think it will remain to be seen whether they will continue to be reactive, as is their kind of MO, or here they really do start to be more proactive.
Anna Whitelock, thank you. You're Professor of the History of Monarchy at City St George's University of London. Now, in a related story, and I know I normally do the headlines for you in a moment, the front page of The Sun was no longer to reign over us. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been told he can no longer ride his horse because they, courtiers, are nervous that there'll be photographs of him grinning and waving as there were just before he was defenestrated from his home in Windsor. But talk about kicking a man when he's down, and he is down, and he's deservedly down. But banning him now from riding his horse, is that an overreach? Presumably that's all he does all day, apart from feed his seven dogs and talk to his lawyers. He rides his horse. Should he now, as is reported, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is no longer allowed to ride his horse? Quite right, or a little unfair, and perhaps reining him in too much? Take your views on that. 7:15 LBC News headlines. Should tell you as well, coming up later in the show,
some relief for households coming in April as the regulator announces its energy price cap, the average household saving about £120. I'm Christian May from City AM, discussing this with Nick shortly.
And let's get those headlines now on LBC from Dominic Ellis.
The energy regulator Ofgem has announced that gas and electricity prices will fall by 7% from April, the equivalent of around £117 a year. Searches by police at Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire have now ended, and President Trump says he's overseen a turnaround for the ages as he set a new record for the longest State of the Union address. LBC weather. Outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M1 northbound remains closed at junction 14 at Milton Keynes to 15 at the A45. The emergency resurfacing works are taking place after the fuel spillage yesterday, and there are delays back to junction 13 at Bedford. But then also on the M1 southbound, just before junction 12 at Flitwick, traffic is being held, and that's because of an accident and there are delays on the approach. On the S6 stretch of the M25, it's still very slow anti-clockwise from junction 29 at the A127 to 28 at the A12 after the accident from earlier, but all the lanes are back open. And all the lanes are back open on the M3 northbound as well at the M25, but there are still lengthy delays from junction 3 at Lightwater.
This is LBC.
The Cupra Drive event is back.
On top of existing offers, get £1,000 off across the range, including the dynamic Cupra 4Mentor, the sporty Cupra Terramar, and the daring Cupra Leon. Just order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Follow your impulse. Search Cupra Drive Event. T's and C's and exclusions apply. UK retail customers 18 plus. New vehicles only. Subject to availability. Saving including VAT applied to the on-the-road price.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
There are two types of drive you can have on the motorway. One that feels like this. Or one that feels... like this. The difference is just a few little changes. Like giving more space to the car in front. Or not hogging the middle lane. Because being a little more considerate on the road actually reduces congestion and collisions. Which transforms everyone's journey. So we all feel a little less... and a lot more... National Highways.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
7:21. Kicking a man when he's down. He's down off his horse and he's staying there. Apparently, Andrew Mountbatten wins the now with a riding ban. We'll take views on that. And, of course, the Mendelssohn affair as well. Well, where do we go with the front page of the Daily Telegraph? As I referenced earlier, Mendelssohn held to stop him fleeing from Britain. Now, the tip-off, and it's very rare that you find out the person who tipped off the police and somebody says, but it is reported that, hope we heard that, came from Lord Forsyth of Drumleen, the Speaker of the House of Lords and a former Conservative MP. Meanwhile, Mr. Mandelson's legal team are furious. They say the claim is baseless and they're demanding to see the evidence from Scotland Yard that suggested that he, Mandelson, was a flight risk. Do you remember we discussed, when this first broke, a police source telling me, why are they nicking him for something at 4:30 in the afternoon? Typically, you're going to spend 9, 10, or in Andrew Mountbatten's Windsor's case, 11 hours talking to them. In Mandelson's case, it was 10. So you're going to drag them into the early hours. Well, now we know the answer. You remember I told you this 2 days ago? So I'm not saying he was a flight risk, I stress, but clearly they did think he was a flight risk, and that's why they nicked him at 4:30. Other front pages, well, that's The Guardian has that line. Mandelson hits out at police, but we have covered that. I have said that they think it's baseless. I've already told you the Sun front page, get off your high horse. Andy, we might take your views on that. Let's finish with the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. The Daily Mail, Greens, as in the Green Party, plan to hand illegal migrants free house, wages and NHS care. Now, these are internal documents. They've not been published, but we'll be looking. And there's another story about the level of support for the Palestinian cause. That by-election, that's in a different newspaper. And I will be asking later in the show, are the red lights flashing over the Greens? Red warning lights flashing. That's later in the show. And to the front page of the Daily Express, they have half of adults avoid going to the GP for help. So we'll be asking you, despite the promises from Wes Streeting and the Labour government, they've been in power now for over 18 months. I'll be asking you, and bear in mind, it's one of the metrics by which any government gets judged, along with the economy and possibly the education, the state of your children. The health service is right up there. Under Labour, in the last 18, 19 months, has the health service improved, gone backwards, or roughly stayed the same in the light of that story? All right, let's go to the United States and President Trump with his State of the Union address. A big set piece in the United States. And unsurprisingly, there was no shortage of claims.
Today, our border is secure. Our spirit is restored. Inflation is plummeting. Incomes are rising fast. The roaring economy is roaring like never before. and our enemies are scared, our military and police are stacked, and America is respected again, perhaps like never before.
Well, those don't actually add up, because while GDP is currently 2.2%, in 2021 it was 5.9%. And while inflation is low, it was considerably lower 10 years ago at 1.6%. So some of those don't add up. But he still talked of a turnaround for the ages.
Tonight, after just 1 year, I can say with dignity and pride that we have achieved a transformation like no one has ever seen before. And a turnaround for the ages. It is indeed a turnaround for the ages.
And what about those troublesome tariffs and indeed the legality or otherwise? Well, he doubled down on them, including those on the UK, despite that Supreme Court ruling.
As time goes by, I believe the tariffs paid for by foreign countries will, like in the past, substantially replace the modern-day system of income tax, taking a great financial burden off the people that I love.
Talking of global matters to Iran.
My preference is to solve this problem through diplomacy. But one thing is certain, I will never allow the world's number one sponsor of terror, which they are by far, to have a nuclear weapon. Can't let that happen.
And lastly, he also introduced special guests, the U.S. men's ice hockey team, who, of course, just won gold at the Winter Olympics.
And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in.
Wow, I think it came in at about 1 hour 46 minutes. David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief at The Guardian. First question, how did you keep yourself awake? How did you sustain yourself for 1 hour 46? David, good morning.
Good question. While sitting in the House chamber, as reporters do, we can't actually see much of Trump himself, but we do get a great view of all the members of Congress and Supreme Court justices. So I amused myself by watching their reactions, which involved a lot of eye rolling and shaking their heads, and in some cases even nodding off and falling asleep.
And how, broadly speaking, did it go down in the room, David?
As ever in the Trump era, half the room absolutely loved it. Republicans were on their feet and applauding probably at least 100 times very rapturously, whereas Democrats, of course, the exact opposite, mostly sitting in stony silence. But when Trump's speech kind of reached its dark heart, where he described the Democrats as crazy and he was talking about immigration, you actually got some heckling there as well, including Congresswoman Ilhan Omar shouting several times, "You killed Americans," with reference to that immigration crackdown in Minneapolis where two U.S. citizens were killed, neither of whom got a mention from Trump tonight.
Where are we with the legality or illegality of the tariffs, David?
Still a little bit vague and foggy, but we do have Trump invoking a 1974 law that still allows him to pursue tariffs, with the catch that only for 150 days, and then they do require approval from Congress. And that is not certain. I mean, when Trump talked in his speech about tariffs and even suggested that they could replace income tax, which would go against Republican orthodoxy, even the Republicans in the room, their applause was somewhat tepid. It was less enthusiastic than for other issues. So I think, once again, we do remain fundamentally uncertain about where all this is heading. But we do know that, you know, this is a true ideological core belief for Trump, and he doesn't have many of those.
Lastly, it is a vast nation. When he talks about inflation under control, the economy going gangbusters, Americans from sea to shining sea, would most of them concur? What's your take on that, David?
No, I think many Americans will accuse Trump of being tone deaf and out of touch. You know, he began this speech very triumphant, talking about a roaring economy, painting a very rosy picture, and that doesn't really resonate with millions of people's everyday experience, where they're struggling to put food on the table and make ends meet. You know, they probably want to hear a president who can say, "I feel your pain and I empathize," and Trump wasn't doing that at the State of the Union.
Grateful for you, David. Try and get some sleep now. I'm sure you need it. David Smith is Washington Bureau Chief at The Guardian. Be sure to watch his dispatches through the course of the day, and I'm sure a write-up in tomorrow's edition as well. Let's just pick up on a little bit of what you're saying about either the Mandelson aspect or Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. This comes in from John. I'm delighted Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is no longer allowed on his horse. The next thing now will be to take away his cars and his mansion. I think his mansion is borrowed, actually, from his brother. Richard says, it sounds like Ed Davey was sold a hospital pass by the minister he stood in for when he spoke in the House about the former Duke of York. Yeah, you're probably right, Richard. In fact, I'm sure you are, Richard. But he should have been aware of that. Now, coming up after the news, we're going to hear that the Ofgem price cap announcement, they're going down, and that feeds into an article you can read by the Prime Minister on the LBC app, talking about how they are tackling the cost of living crisis, as on the LBC app, and of other government promises.
Patient satisfaction with access to general practice has gone from 60% to 75%, and we've rolled out online access across the country.
West Streeting on LBC yesterday, but today the headlines are that half of adults avoid going to the GP. So I'm asking you, under Labour, has the NHS improved, actually deteriorated, or stayed broadly the same? We'll look at that as well. It's 7:30. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC Newstime. Dominic Ellis.
Ofgem has announced it's cutting the energy price cap by 7% from April. It'll mean the average household will save around £117 a year on their gas and electricity bills. The Prime Minister has told LBC that he won't stop until bills are down for good. Sir Keir Starmer says the drop in the energy price cap is because of the action his government took in the budget. You can read more of Sir Keir's exclusive comments on the LBC app. And President Trump has claimed America is bigger, better and richer than ever as he set a new record for the longest State of the Union address. He told Congress he's overseen a turnaround for the ages during his first year back in the White House. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees.
Hey, smart speaker. Play LBC.
Good morning, I'm Nick Ferrari. It's time to get to your calls.
Hi there, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
I've been working since 14, I've been saving, and I have absolutely no chance of buying my first time home.
Hear every side of the story.
In April last year, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Everyone from nurses to cleaners and everything were just lovely.
So I've got 5 years of tuition fees, and it's now £108,000. If it continues at this interest rate, it would eventually reach 200k.
Listen on your radio and on the LBC app.
Having social media, that's why we made. I'm scared for my child all of the time.
LBC.
It genuinely means the world to be heard.
Leading Britain's conversation.
Planning your next train journey? Buy it on the South Western Railway app. It's the same ticket, but with a whole bunch of benefits. Pay no booking fees, get live departure updates, and see how busy your South Western Railway train is. Plus, you can book train tickets to anywhere in the UK.
Everything you need, all in your pocket. Get app and go. Download the SWR app today. Geographic exclusions apply. For full T's and C's, visit southwesternrailway.com/app.
With LV, I can get my car insurance from just £299. Just the price I'm after right now. And if I'm hit by an uninsured driver, I won't lose my no-claim discount. Because insurance is simple when it's me and LV.
No wonder we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. Get your quote today at lv.com. 10% of new customers pay £299 or less July to December 2025. Uninsured driver promise is non-fault accident only. Other vehicle and driver details required. LV General Insurance is part of Allianz.
When I realised there was demand for our business in overseas markets.
When I wanted to sharpen my business skills with training that wouldn't break the bank.
When it was time to turn my passion into a thriving business venture.
When I needed advice I could trust.
Whether you want to grow your business or even start one from scratch, we'll help you access the support you need when you need it. With free tools, insights and live or on-demand training, the UK government is backing your business. Visit business.gov.uk to find out how.
Turn ordinary into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LBX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX. What car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025?
Nick Ferrari. story at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, we'll talk about more about Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor and, of course, the reaction in the House of Commons towards him in a moment. But let's get into the world of business and finance and money. Christian Bay is editor-in-chief at City AM. And we've heard about the energy price cap. I suppose we should start by just asking Christian, exactly remind everyone what it does, what it provides for, and indeed where we find it now with this morning's figures. Christian, morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, the energy regulator, Ofgem, has announced its latest energy price cap. This is for a period covering the 1st of April to the end of June, so they do review this every few months or so. It's a 7% reduction of the energy price cap. Now, that cap, it's important to remember, is not setting a hard ceiling on the maximum amount any household will pay overall for their energy, for gas, electricity. It's a cap on what suppliers can charge for the individual units of energy. And so that has changed as of today. It's come down. It's going to be equating to a saving of about £10 a month for the average household using electricity and gas. So about 120 quid a year, which is nothing to sniff at. And the level is quite a significant reduction. It's £200 lower than a year ago. And one of the main reasons for this is it's a reflection of the government's decision announced at the budget, I think, to take about £150 of government-imposed costs off energy bills. Now, that's largely in the form of something that was called the Energy Company Obligation, which was a charge that was passed on to consumers to help fund energy efficiency improvements for low-income or vulnerable homes. Now, that's going to be shifted over to general taxation, I believe. So that direct cost has been taken out of energy bills, which is the big reason behind the reduction in the energy cap. But of course, yeah, if you use more than the average household, you will pay more. But about £1,600 is set to be the average household cost for gas and electricity now, thanks to this reduction in the energy price cap.
Let's move to other matters. Thanks for the background, and indeed thanks for the figures. I should say we're going to be hearing from Ed Miliband on this, the Energy and Net Zero Secretary, later in this hour. Let's come back to other stories. Indeed, the front page of your paper, the City AM, riding the wave. Who and why?
This is Wave with a Y, one of the most exciting startups in the UK. There may not be a household name outside of the capital where they're currently becoming increasingly visible. They are a self-driving car company. They have just gone through another round of investment, raised north of $1 billion. That takes the valuation of this company to about $8.5 billion. Now, I'm not certain whether they're making any money yet. They're still in that startup mode, but they are attracting investment from major players, indeed all over the world. They are hoping to roll out driverless taxis across London, and I would imagine the rest of the country, and indeed the rest of the world. There are trials expected in the spring of next year. Actually, trials are already underway, and there will be pilot schemes rolling out this spring. And it's Uber, the ride-hailing app, who are hoping to sign them up onto its platform in London next year. There are competitors. These are quite a common sight now in many US cities. But London is seen all over the world as the sort of ultimate test case. If you can get a driverless car to work in London with its ancient medieval streets and its crowding, then the expectation is they'll work in many more modern cities. So it's a really exciting technology. The investment round has been welcomed by the government because they love this sort of evidence of investment and enthusiasm in the tech sector in the UK. And it's approaching a $10 billion valuation. So one day, Nick, you'll just be able to sit in the back of a car with nobody in the front.
I don't know whether it's something we should celebrate, that London is seen as the trickiest town to solve. Once they've cracked it, they've cracked the world. But we move on. And as we're talking about a story involving Paramount, as one of the newspapers rightly does, it quotes a very famous line, the Daily Mail, coming from the Godfather movie, an offer it can't refuse. Why is the headline on that story, Christian?
Well, it's been a really interesting narrative arc since you've got me thinking about screenplays. the way in which it was first announced that this was a done deal, that Netflix was going to buy Warner Brothers, and then Paramount Skydance bowled into town, and they were roundly ignored and rebuffed by Warner Brothers. What's happened now is that Paramount has put forward its best and final offer. They've increased their offer, which is already substantially higher than Netflix's offer. They have now increased it from $30 a share to $31 a share. And that has really muscled them into the conversation in a way in which Warner Brothers cannot ignore. Indeed, Netflix can't ignore. So there is now a period under which Netflix has to submit a revised proposal. It's substantially lower proposal at about $27 a share, or quit its quest to acquire the part of Warner Brothers that it wants. And, of course, remember that Paramount wants to acquire the whole kit and caboodle, including the news platforms as well. So it's really interesting to see the way in which this has gone from no thanks, not interested, to OK, fine, show us your best offer and we'll think about it. But it will, of course, lead to, frankly, whichever entity ends up acquiring Warner Brothers will then own one of the largest entertainment media companies in the world. So the stakes are certainly high.
Grateful for that. Thank you. Talk around the same time tomorrow. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, 7:40. And time to take to the skies, continuing our business conversation. And a record 302 million passengers travelled through UK airports last year. Context, that's a 2.4% lift from the previous year. The destinations with the largest passenger numbers are from UK airports were Dublin, Alicante, Dubai, Malaga and Mallorca. The Civil Aviation Authority, which released the figures, also said growth looks set to continue, as a recent survey showed more than 30% of people are planning to fly more this year, which should be good news to the ears of our next guest, Thomas Wolby, who is CEO of Heathrow Airport. Well, this is great for the industry. How is Heathrow Airport faring in this? Good morning to you, Mr. Wolby.
Good morning, Nick. Well, Heathrow has just had one of the best years ever, particularly when we talk about what we deliver for the passengers. We are the most functional large airport in Europe. We have 98% of our passengers going through security in less than 5 minutes, and we have just halved the amount of baggage being short shipped. So, you know, really, really good year, I think, and we are trying hard to deliver an airport that people in this country can be proud of.
There have been problems, of course, for people waiting to get their bags. Is that, broadly speaking, under control? Are new systems being put in place? Are you trying to deliver on that as well, Mr. Wolby?
Absolutely. We are working with airlines. We launched a program that we call Winning Together with all of our airlines and our parties in the airport because, you know, we can't deliver this alone. We have to work together with our airlines and the high handlers and everybody else who are in the airport. And we find that everybody is backing this up because we all want to deliver a better service for the passengers. And this year has really seen a step change for the better.
Now, what city journalists will focus on, of course, is the dividends. Take us a background to that and the payments that have been made, Mr. Wolby.
Well, I think healthy companies should pay dividends. That's how you attract investors. Our investors have seen no returns in the past 5 years since before COVID. And I think it's reasonable that we get to a point now that we have financially fundamental good results, that also investors get a return.
And what does that mean for pre-tax profits? I note they're down from the previous year.
That's primarily because of adjustments. If you look at our EBITDA, which is really how we measure ourselves, is pretty much in line with last year. We see quite some inflationary pressure on our biggest cost, which is staff cost. We are a London Living Wage employer. So inflation is quite high. We've seen national insurance go up. And we also want to deliver the best possible airport. So we've seen some maintenance costs go up that we are still catching up a bit from happened during COVID.
Last question, more broadly, not just focusing on Heathrow, how is the whole sector, how is aviation in the UK now?
I think that, that first of all, there is the demand. We see that. We have record high number of passengers at Heathrow, but also across the UK. People want to travel. Traveling is good. Our challenge, I think, in the UK is capacity. We have been waiting for too long to get the necessary capacity, and that will limit economic growth. And hence why we are proposing a third runway, because it is absolutely needed.
Grateful for your time. Thank you, Thomas Wolby, CEO of Heathrow Airport, 7:43, Craig in Tunbridge Wells. Craig, we're going to be talking to the Energy Secretary, Net Zero Secretary, Ed Miliband, about this price cap, but you've got a view already. Tell me what you want to say. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, sir.
They're putting a sticking plaster on a, you know, we've got the most expensive energy across Europe.
Right.
You know, it's crippling businesses, and I'm sure they've announced this today,
yes,
just so that Starmer can stand up and say, we're saving £117 per family. What you know, he's in trouble and he's using it as a...
When you say we have the most expensive energy, because where do you get that from? Because that's something I'm very happy to put to Mr. Miliband, but I obviously need data to back it up. Where are you getting those figures from?
Well, I'm just on my way to the airport, actually.
Oh, right,
to fly away, so I haven't got data to hand.
Okay.
But I'm sure your researchers there can find out.
Okay.
You know, it's commonly known that, you know, the cost of energy here is ludicrous, and it's worse on businesses.
All right. Where are
small
you flying? Where are you flying?
I'm only going to Edinburgh this morning. I've got to go and sort something out up in there.
Do you run your own business, do you?
I've got several.
Right, okay. So the impact that then, as a business owner, is what?
Well, the energy costs will not reduce for businesses.
Right.
Well, they won't. All they'll do is they've already said that they're going to... This £117 is going to be loaded onto general taxation, which means either all the workers or the businesses are all in for a tax hike again.
Grateful to you, Craig. I'll let you get off to the airport. Thank you. We will have a quick look and see if those figures do stack up. We have Ed Miliband, as I say. So, happy landings, by the way. Off to Edinburgh. Thank you. We have Ed Miliband coming up. Also, later in the show, it gets worse for the BBC. Now, they won the award for the most bungled BAFTA. They'll probably get the award for the most bungled of the Oscar award as well, because they were warned by Warner Brothers to take out those offensive words, the N-word, and they failed to do. The view of Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch on LBC.
It's quite clear that they haven't learnt the lessons from Glastonbury. I think it was really shocking and embarrassing for those presenters to have had that happen.
We'll have more on that later in the show. It's 7:45, LBC News headlines now. Dominic Ellis.
The energy regulator Ofgem has announced that gas and electricity prices will fall by 7% from April. The Prime Minister has exclusively told LBC, despite today's drop in the price cap, he won't stop until bills are down for good. And President Trump says he's overseen a turnaround for the ages as he set a new record for the longest State of the Union address. LBC weather. Outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M1 remains closed northbound between junctions 14 at Milton Keynes and 15 at Northampton at the A45. It's because of the emergency works which are still taking place after that fuel spillage yesterday. There are delays back to junction 13 at Bedford. Also on the M1, there are southbound queues to junction 12 at Flitwick because of an accident where two lanes are closed. On the Essex stretch of the M25, one lane has been closed again anti-clockwise at junction 28 at the A12. The final bit of emergency works are taking place after the accident yesterday and there are delays back to junction 29 and Romford. And in London, just north of King's Cross, the Caledonian Road remains closed both ways.
This is LBC.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, so my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming negative.
lecturers, cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd quit my job and I'd finish my novel.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw. So, what's the book called?
Neil, the Vampire Detective.
Sounds awful.
Who cares? I'm rich!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Do you know your state pension age? No. Maybe you're not sure. Or you don't know how to check. It's so quick and easy to check online. All you need is your date of birth. Knowing your state pension age helps you think about your future. So check yours today. Search state pension age on gov.uk and simply enter your date of birth. State pension age. It's good to know.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:10. Let's get into more detail now about the Ofgem price cap announcement, and who better than to give us more input is than Ed Miliband, the Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero, who joins us now. Just remind listeners, if you would, what the figure is and what it means, and then we'll get into a little more detail. Mr. Miliband, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. So the price cap is down by £117, £1,641. This is obviously really good news and will be welcome for many of your listeners and viewers. It's happening because of the decisions that the Chancellor took in the budget, in particular to raise taxes on the wealthiest in order to fund some of the costs that were previously on bills. And look, it goes to absolutely what I've talked to you about before, Nick, which is we recognise the long-term cost of living crisis that so many people face. We recognise energy bills are too high. We're determined to bring them down. We've got further to go, but this is an important milestone.
Well, you say further to go. I mean, Secretary of State, this is less than £10 a month. It's not going to shoot the lights out, is it? It's not that much help.
I think that's a little bit negative, uncharacteristically so, if
absolutely.
I may say so.
I must have got up early this morning.
I mean, look, you know, this will make a difference to people. It's £117 across the year. We said at the election we would cut bills by up to £300 by 2030. We made that promise for a reason, which is we recognise the affordability crisis that people face. There is more to do. We've already done some other things as well, like the warm home discount, which we've extended to nearly 3 million more families, those on means tested benefits. But there's other things coming down the track. Our warm homes plan to invest and upgrade people's homes that I've talked to you about before. Our clean power mission. So, for example, cheap solar, which is going to help reduce bills. So there's further to go. It's an important step, though.
But how will it help business energy costs? They don't get protected by this. It doesn't help that, does it? Power industry forward.
You're right that this is not about business energy costs. We're taking, look, and I want to acknowledge to you that business energy costs are a significant issue. Now, we are taking action on this. So this, so two separate measures. So, for example, this April, Nick, we're going to see 500 of the most energy intensive businesses in the, for example, the steel industry, get significant additional help through the so-called supercharger scheme in order to help them with the costs that they face and make them more competitive. Look, that's a work in progress. There's further to go on business energy costs. We continue to talk to industry about that. But as I will always say to you, the numbers have got to add up. And so, you know, this wasn't easy, this energy bills cut. It was because the Chancellor raised some taxes on, you know, the highest earners, which was unpopular with some people, in order to help fund some of these costs.
But do you recognise, if perhaps not businesses the size of British Steel, but smaller businesses, if they are to grow, if they are to expand, they need help. They might not take on other workers or even open another site. Because why can't we look at some sort of capping or fixing there, Mr. Miliband?
Well, look, one of the things that we are doing is reforming. We previously had a completely unregulated market in so-called third-party intermediaries, which were the kind of brokers for small business energy costs, and we are now regulating them through Ofgem to get a better deal for small businesses. But I will say to you very straight, there's further to go on business energy costs. We and it's something that I talk about with the Chancellor, with the Trade Secretary, Trade and Business Secretary, and others across government, and indeed with business itself.
You referenced some of your colleagues. Another of your colleagues, the most senior colleague, the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, has written a piece for LBC this morning. It's available on the app and the website.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Sir Keir. And it's not bad copy. We're pleased. He's coming along. Intro needs a bit more punch, but that's a separate conversation. But the Prime Minister says...
You're available for hire. I am available. Can't afford me.
Says he won't stop until bills are, quotes, down for good. What does he mean by down for good, Mr. Miliband?
What we said at the election. Look, we said at the election, you've asked me about this a number of times, and I've confirmed this, that we said bills will be up to £300 lower by 2030 as a result of our clean power mission and other things that we're doing, and that's what we're determined to do. We've got to get away from this era of people opening their energy bill each month or each quarter with kind of horror. And you know, I think of somebody I met in my own constituency, Nick, a few months back, an old lady, and she said, look, for the last 4 years... which was actually since sort of Russia invaded Ukraine, actually, we've only been able to have the heating on 3 hours a day.
Right.
And you know, we've got to change that. We cannot live in a country where that happens. And that's why it's important what we're doing today.
But we live in a country where they're putting bars of chocolates in security boxes, Mr. Mayor. I hear what you're trying to do with energy bills, and £10 is £10, but we've got security blocks on chocolate and cheese in this country. What are you doing? Not you personally. What are the government doing about that?
Because of the scale of the crisis that people are facing, you're saying?
Yes. The prices aren't coming. You've done what you can. Many would say 10 quid's not enough. But if you go into the supermarket, your constituents, my listeners, your people, good folk of Doncaster North, when they go through Morrison's or Asda, and they think, I heard Ed Miliband. It's just not what they see on the shelves, Mr. Miliband.
No, look, it's true. But let me say this to you. I think this dates back probably 18 years to the financial... it's ever since the financial crisis...
What, the price of chocolate?
No. Ever since the financial crisis of 2008, people have been facing a long-term affordability crisis. And look across the board at what we're doing. Raising the minimum wage to help people. Taking action on childcare to help people.
It doesn't feel like that in Morrison's and Asda, though. Do you know the price of a Mars bar?
I'm not going to get into a quiz
no,
questions with you.
Politicians are so removed from reality. You don't know the price of a Mars bar.
I'm not going to do the Nick Ferrari quiz. I'm afraid.
Christmas? What do you do for Christmas?
Politicians are removed
from reality. That is what my listeners will say.
I know.
Ed Miliband, nice bloke, but when did he last go to Sainsbury's? That's what they'll say.
I know the reality that people face. I know the reality that the people face, Nick. And the reason we're taking the action we are...
How much is a pint of milk?
Oh, stop it. Right. The reason, you know, the Nick Ferrari pub quiz is sort of available somewhere else.
Yeah.
The reason... But this is a serious point.
Yep.
The reason... I've said to you before that, you know, what has been the problem of Britain of the last decade or more, it's been run for the wealthiest and powerful. It hasn't been run for ordinary people, ordinary working people, who really, really struggle. And that's what we're trying to change. Now, can it be done overnight? But hang on. Wait. Come on. Don't be too interrupting. And can we change it overnight? No. I think what people want to know is we get the problem. We get that the cost of living crisis is the number one issue, and we are trying to do something about it and trying to make a difference, and there's some relief. And that's the way I'd describe today. Some relief for people, some necessary relief for people.
Coming to the last minute or so, can I take you to Denmark? Not literally, but you'll be aware there that the Danes had planned to close most of their 20-plus offshore fields by the early 2040s. Now they want to extend activity until 2050. Are you telling me the land of King Canute are wrong?
No, the Danes make their own decisions.
But why don't we look at that on North Sea drilling?
Well, we are keeping our existing oil and gas fields open for decades to come, unlike what the original Danish position. What we said, we won't issue new licenses to explore new fields.
But why?
Well, because it's going to make no difference to bills. It's going to make no difference to energy bills. Look, it's really important, this, Nick, that those people who come on your program and say, let's just one sec.
Go ahead.
Let's just drill for more oil and gas. It will take money off bills. It won't. Prices are set on the international market. Why are gas prices 40% higher than they were before Russia invaded Ukraine, but still 40% higher? Because they're set on the international market. The only answer to this, and I know you love wind turbines, the only answer to this is homegrown clean power that we control. Wind, solar, nuclear, which you probably do like a bit more, as part of this. That is the answer. Homegrown energy independence, not being dependent on the petrostates and dictators.
But why does it make sense? I'm taking this figure from the Daily Telegraph. A government modelling suggests the UK will still need nearly 40 billion cubic metres of gas a year in 2035, plus 40 million tonnes of oil products. By then, the UK's own gas production will be down from 30 cubic metres to just 7. How does that make sense?
Well, hang on a minute. There's lots of things going on there. The North Sea is a declining basin in any case, but that's why we're keeping our oil and gas fields open, existing oil and gas fields open for decades to come. Most of our oil is exported, actually. It's not used here. So
why? Why do we export it?
Because it's not appropriately to be used here. It's used elsewhere.
Why is it not appropriate? I don't understand. What's wrong with it? Why is it inappropriate?
Well, it's not that it's wrong. It just tends to be traded on the international market.
But at the same time, we spend £26 billion to American companies for imports of liquefied natural gas since 2019. So why are we spending £26 billion since 2019? The Labour government has only been in by 18 months, by the way. When we're having to buy it, it doesn't make sense. We export rather than use our own.
Well, we are trying to use our own. Look, the point is we're continuing to... We want to keep existing oil and gas fields open for their lifetime, and I've said that. The truth is that new exploration licences will make almost no difference to the amount of oil and gas that we get. The question for Britain is, what gives us energy security for the future? And the answer to...
Surely looking after our own supplies.
Yes. Yes, of homegrown
and
clean power.
And not spending £26 billion since 2019.
But do you understand the point, Nick, which is that it's not going to make any difference to bills? What you're saying, you see... The mythology here is this is somehow going to reduce bills. It's not going to reduce bills.
Right. I'm grateful to you. Thank you. That price cap has come down. It does equate to around £117 per annum, as explained by Ed Miliband, Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero. Thank you for your time. We're over time. 1 minute after 8, LBC headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, energy bills are set to drop by around £117 a year for the typical household in England, Scotland and Wales. The regulator Ofgem has announced this morning its price cap will drop by 7% from April. Speaking to Nick in the past few minutes, the Energy Secretary Ed Miliband insisted it will help struggling families.
We recognise energy bills are too high. We're determined to bring them down. We've got further to go, but this is an important milestone.
Well, you say further to go. I mean, the Secretary of State, this is less than £10 a month. It's not going to shoot the lights out, is it? It's not that much help.
I think that's a little bit negative, uncharacteristically so, if
Absolutely.
I may say so.
I must have got up early this morning.
I mean, look, this will make a difference to people. It's £117 across the year.
Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC despite the drop in the price cap, he won't stop until bills are down for good. But the Prime Minister has conceded too many families are still feeling the pressure from the cost of living crisis. You can read more of Sir Keir's exclusive comments on the LBC app. Searches by police at Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire have now ended. The former prince was arrested last week on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He's denied wrongdoing over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump says he's overseen a turnaround for the ages as he set a new record for the longest State of the Union address. In a speech lasting nearly 2 hours, he lauded his approach to immigration, tariffs and global issues. He said America is back, bigger and better than ever before.
Today our border is secure, our spirit is restored, inflation is plummeting, incomes are rising fast, the roaring economy is roaring like never before. And our enemies are scared, our military and police are stacked, and America is respected again.
Mr. Trump also said Iran is pursuing what he called sinister nuclear ambitions, despite US strikes on various sites last year. But he did indicate he wanted to solve the issue through diplomacy. And NHS England says it secured a rescue package of alternative medical cement to allow joint surgery to continue. Last week, hospitals were told to postpone treatments, including knee and hip replacements, due to supply issues. In the city, the FTSE 100's just reopened at 10,680. It closed down 4 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
At Lidl, find your move with a new Cribbit hiking range. Grab hiking poles for only £12.99. And with Lidl Plus, you can get £3 off windproof raincoats, so they're only £9.99. Find the full Cribbit range in-store. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. Terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/LBTV. Offer ends 28th of 2nd, 26.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Wednesday, February the 25th. Coming up in this hour, should the red warning lights be flashing over the Greens and some of their policies? Policies that are being exhibited at that by-election and also in a reported leaked internal documents. If you are Green, a Green supporter, I'll give you more detail and say, is that what you really want from your party? Plus, in other news, Clarissa Nichols was just 21 when she died from sudden cardiac death in 2023. At the time, her mother Hillary told Channel 4...
This silent killer affect mainly those people who are actually quite fit, which is a huge irony.
We'll give you more details on that condition later in the show. Plus, I've already referenced that by-election up tomorrow.
Voters go to the polls tomorrow in what could be one of the most significant by-elections in recent years. I'm LBC's Liam Gotting in Gorton and Denton.
Back to the BBC BAFTA bungle, and now one of the movie companies, Warner Brothers, warned them and asked them to edit those racial slurs, and yet again, another fail from the BBC. And is it a fail from the government? All right, your energy bills are down by just a little under £10 a month, but what of the cost of living? The fact that we have anti-security devices fitted to blocks of cheese and bars of chocolate put in those huge plastic containers. Energy Secretary Ed Miliband told me in the previous hour...
We get that the cost of living crisis is the number one issue, and we are trying to do something about it and trying to make a difference, and there's some relief. And that's the way I describe today. Some relief for people.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Do you experience that some relief? But that's later in the show. Now, for some, the warning lights are flashing red over the Greens. In the Times newspaper, Labour accuses the Greens of whipping up hatred among Muslim voters before the by-election after they called for Sir Keir Starmer's party to be punished for Gaza. They say that cabinet ministers privately believe the Greens are hammering us by deliberately raising the salience of Gaza in the constituency. Sir Keir Starmer's repeatedly insisted that Gorton is a straight fight between Labour and Reform, despite the fact that polls indicate, actually, the Greens are performing particularly well. I remind you, my colleague Liam Gotting will report from that a little later in this hour. So that's the Times. Meanwhile, the Daily Mail is reporting that illegal immigrants will be given a free house and paid a wage with no requirement to work. Under leaked documents, I stress leaked documents, discussing certain policy positions for the Green Party. These documents also contain the idea that Zach Polanski, the party leader, would want arrivals to use the NHS for free the moment they came into Britain. Now, we also already know that Mr. Polanski has some, perhaps encouraging for some, but concerning for others, views as regards prostitution and the use of pornography. Now, I've been around a few years, and I remember when the Green Party was very noble set up to try and protect the environment, make sure that there was some kind of country to pass on for our children, our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children. So have they rather lost the way? We'll talk in a moment with a pollster and pick up from him what he thinks is happening, not just in Gorton, but more broadly. But first to Andrew Fisher, who's a journalist, columnist at the I Paper, served as a senior policy adviser for Jeremy Corbyn behind the 2017 and 19 Labour manifestos, and joins me now. Good to see you again, Andrew. Trust you and the family are all well. The Green Party, a threat, a menace, as some newspapers are portraying them, or is that unfair press? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. Look, the Green Party is certainly a threat to Reform and a threat to the Labour Party at the moment, and that is a good thing. I think it's healthy for our politics to have lots of political choice for voters to choose from. Clearly, people feel let down at the moment by the Labour Party and the Conservatives, which is why they've gone down in the polls since the general election. And both Reform and the Greens, on different wings of politics, have filled a lot of that gap. So I think that's healthy. It's not surprising that, you know, the Daily Mail and the Times aren't particularly keen on the Greens. I don't have to cast my mind back too far, too long ago, before they were, you know, not fairly reporting some of the policies we came out with in the Labour Party when Jeremy Corbyn was leader. So this is nothing new, and I'm sure the Greens will respond to it in kind.
Is it extreme, though, to talk about no, zero deportations, NHS provision the moment you arrive, supposedly a free house? Again, these are internal documents, they're no policies, but isn't that a little extreme, Andrew?
Look, I think until a few years ago, in fact, if you did come to this country, you did get the NHS for free. It was only, I think, under the Cameron government, the NHS surcharge was added, and certain restrictions were put on. So, look, I think if the pandemic taught us anything, it's that no one's safe unless we're all safe. I mean, look, we've got measles outbreaks in parts of the country because people aren't vaccinated. Now, some of that's due to people being whipped up into this anti-vaccine scare, which has been perpetuated by Reform, ironically. But look, if we want people to get NHS treatment, we don't want people being ill and contagious. We want people who have got mental health problems to get support for that, you know, regardless of whether they've come into the country yesterday or have lived here all their lives. You know, that to me is a sensible policy. If people are in this country, we want their mental health problems sorted. We don't want them passing on contagious diseases. So, yes, I think that's a perfectly sensible policy to say, actually, asylum seekers who have, you know, been in difficult circumstances, travelling across Europe, being smuggled in close containment with others, you know, should get NHS checkup as soon as they come here. That's a sensible policy for public health in the round. So I think if the Greens are advocating that, they're quite right.
Going to speak to a pollster, Joe Twyman, in just a moment. Last question. More broadly, Andrew, as a canny watcher of these affairs, is this the end of the heritage parties, Conservative and Labour? If you'll allow me to be rather crude, you've got Nigel Farage and Reform on one end, and without being rude, Zach Pulaski and his Greens on the other side. In the middle, sort of two heritage parties who don't quite know which way to turn. Andrew?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. They're both in trouble, and we've seen since the election, you know, the Labour Party's polling has nearly halved since the general election. They've gone from about 33-34% down to about 18-19%. The Tories haven't made any gains. They've gone backwards, in fact, as well. They've gone from about 24 down to about 16-17% in the polls. So, you know, there is a real problem there, and people, I think, are looking for other options, because we've had 14 years of the Conservatives, who were kicked out in a landslide at the last election, and the first 18 months of Labour have been deeply underwhelming. So people are looking elsewhere, and I think they're right to. And to be honest, those two heritage parties, as you put it, need that metaphorical kick up the arse. Get your house in order or you won't exist.
Andrew Fisher's columnist at the iPaper. Good having you on. Thank you for your input on that. 11 minutes after 8. Now, let's talk about a national poll from a different polling. We'll put it to Delta Poll in just a second. But find out now, with a national poll of more than 3,000 voters, found that the Green Party is now in second place. Reform, perhaps you won't be surprised, 25 percentage points. The Greens at 18, Labour at 16%. Joe Twyman is co-founder of Delta Poll, that's Delta Poll, and joins me now. What would your research tell us on a national front, a national footage? Joe, good morning.
Good morning. The really important thing is not to look at one particular poll, particularly when that poll is an outlier, but instead to look at the long-term trends in what all of the polling is showing us. And that story is really clear. The Green Party won between sort of 6-10%, just pootling along for many years, actually. But then in September, we have the election of Zach Polanski, and that really was a game changer, not just for the Green Party, but for British politics as a whole. Since then, the Greens have gradually but consistently grown their position, and they're now at between sort of 16-17% in the most recent polls that have been published. And yes, people talk about specific policies that they have, but it's not really about that for so many people who support them. Instead, it's about, as has been discussed, the fact that they are not the established parties, the fact that they represent change, the fact that they represent an anti-establishment position. And if all that sounds familiar, it's because it is. It's essentially the playbook that the Reform Party are running, but for the left-wing progressive side of the political spectrum.
So if your advice, counsel, Joe, was sought by, I'll refer to them again as the heritage parties, Conservative and Labour, what would you be telling them? Because to use Andrew's comments, they're getting a kick up the rear end at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. And the challenges are very different because one of those heritage parties, of course, is in power. And so Labour's important message has to be that people need to perceive a significant change to be happening on the important issues, most noticeably cost of living. So it's all very well Ed Miliband saying that that things are starting to move in the right direction, but people have to feel that.
But they don't, do they? We're having to put anti-theft devices on cheese. People don't feel that in reality, do they, Joe?
No, they don't. They don't yet. And so. You would, if you were being generous to Labour, you would say they've got 3 years left, and so that's what they need to concentrate on. And the Conservatives need to find an alternative to all of the other parties out there that can appeal. And so perhaps something around stability, perhaps something around their ability to be the adults in the room, for instance, might be something that they'll go for. But the challenge for them is enormous, given that they don't have access to the levers of power that Labour do.
Lastly, again, let's just focus for a second on the party that's not in power and seeks to be in power, the Conservatives. Are they just reaching their sell-by date?
Well, if the last 15 to 20 years of British politics have taught us anything, it's that nothing can be guaranteed, but at the same time, nothing can be ruled out. They've certainly been struggling in the polls for some time now, and you still have a situation where many years later, around one in five people doesn't know if Kemi Badenoch is doing a good job or not. And so I think there has to be if they're going to succeed, there has to be greater cut through for Badenoch, and there has to be policies that represent a positive change to what the other parties are putting across. And given the poor position they were in when they left Downing Street, that could be very difficult.
Joe Twyman is co-founder of Delta Poll. Thanks for your input on that. If you've been attracted to the Greens, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Is it because of their environment policy, which of course is very, very laudable and very worthy? Or is it because they're going areas that others don't? The support for the Palestinian cause, the support indeed for migrants. There would be zero deportations, access immediately to the NHS, and even free housing. I mean, quite how it is to be afforded is another matter. But if you've gone green, do tell me why. Plus, also after the news, the young people urged to check for an unknown killer heart condition. We'll give you a full report on a very, very serious and concerning development there. Just turned 8:16, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Energy Secretary has rejected suggestions that the 7% drop in the energy price cap won't be enough to help struggling families. Sir Keir Starmer's exclusively told LBC, despite a fall in energy prices, he won't stop until bills are down for good. And Donald Trump has broken the record for the longest ever State of the Union address. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. So the M1's back open now northbound at Junction 14 at Milton Keynes, but there are still lengthy delays. And then southbound, it's very busy all the way from Junction 14 at Milton Keynes down to 12 at Flitwick after two separate accidents. On the Essex stretch of the M25, it's very busy anti-clockwise to Junction 28 at the A12. One lane stays closed for the emergency works. Also, the A12 is closed southbound at the North Circular Road following an accident, so that's causing queues. Just north of King's Cross, the Caledonian Road is closed both ways because of a burst water main. And on the Underground, there are severe delays on the Piccadilly line up to Heathrow Airport. There are minor delays on the rest of the line.
LBC.
Why are you abseiling down the front of your house, Ross? You have a staircase.
I like doing things the hard way, Albert.
Try something easier, Ross. Get cheaper off-peak energy. It's available at different times, like during the day or weekends. Just get a smart meter and choose a flexible scheme or tariff.
Ooh, I could batch cook some quiche.
Perfect. With a smart meter, getting cheaper energy is easier than you think.
Eligibility varies. Action required. Schemes and tariffs available to selected customers.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails.
There's not long left to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Plus, get up to 20% off flights. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Sale ends 3rd of March. Holidays, min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after 8. If you look at the current state of British politics, which are the two parties that are performing well? Reform and Green. I probably don't need to remind you too much about reform policies. What was it earlier this week? We're no longer going to allow churches to be turned into mosques. There's a vanishingly small number of churches that has happened to, but still it will appeal to a certain voter on that side. And here on the other side is the Greens with all sorts of promises. Now, these are internal documents, I hasten to add, so it's not as if they have their equivalent of Zia Youssef standing up and saying, that's what we're going to do. But they do discuss, it was earlier this week, it was discussed that prostitution should be made legalised, so legal prostitution, and allowed for local authorities to administer, and with a small p, police, effectively. Recreational use of serious drugs. Recreational use of drugs including crack cocaine. Again, discussed, I hasten, discussed. But that's what is going on with the Greens. And now the latest is regard illegal immigrants, who will be given a free house and paid a wage with no requirement to work. Now, surely even the greenest green, if there is such a creature, even the greenest green would see that that is an incredible magnet for people. Can you imagine if that happened and word got out in countries such as Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq? And if you can get to Dover, if you can get to England or Britain, you will get a house and a wage and you won't have to work. And if you save some money, you can even get some crack cocaine for the weekend and prostitution will be legal. Well, if you accept that there is, and I do subscribe to Emmanuel Macron's view here, that there is too much of a pull or a magnet in the United Kingdom, that when people get here, I think they are, of course we need to look after them, I'm not suggesting for a moment you should, not, but there's too much encouragement to get here, that will surely make the situation worse. So more broadly, in British politics at the moment, you have one party that is saying we'll no longer let churches become mosques, even though that's not really a policy. You have another party saying free houses and free wages, no work for people who arrive here. How come our politics have got to those two extraordinarily contradictory extremes? We'll pick up on your views on that in just a moment. But there's a health story I want to get to. Every week in this country, 12 people under the age of 35 die from what's called a hidden heart condition, often in their sleep, usually out of the blue. I mean, this is chilling, isn't it? Out of the blue, with no warning signs or warning symptoms. We've already told you the story of Clarissa Nichols. She was hiking in the south of France back in 2023 when she collapsed and died just a week shy of her 21st birthday. She was a keen athlete and she had an undiagnosed heart condition called arrhythmogenic cardiomyopathy, in which the heart muscle is replaced by fat and scar tissue. Enough from me, let's go to an expert. Dr. Daniel Tardo is a cardiologist and clinical research fellow at St. George's Hospital in London and joins me now. Can you put into English, into language that I would understand, Doctor, what is actually happening then inside the bodies of these young folk? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Not at all.
So, as you summarised, the disease process involves a transformation of the heart muscle into fatty tissue, which results in inflammation in the heart muscle, and then replacement with scar. So we're talking about a genetic condition which is inherited from one's parents related to a mutation in a gene that sometimes we can identify, sometimes we cannot. So it's a predetermined disease state. It can then result in, the scar can then result in electrical abnormalities that can lead to dangerous heart rhythms that result in a cardiac arrest, or it can cause the heart to enlarge and fail over time. So as you mentioned, sometimes individuals will not have symptoms prior to this devastating event that leads to cardiac arrest and death. Sometimes they may have symptoms leading into that. It is rare, so we're talking about a condition that occurs in about 1 in 2,000 up to 1 in 5,000. So it's not common at all.
There's no zero screening available, Doctor?
Not zero. So in terms of general population-based screening, Cardiac Risk in the Young, a charitable organisation that's been running for 30 years, is doing amazing work in this space. And they offer free community-based screening to individuals throughout the UK. Now, they're independently funded in terms of relying on the generosity of benefactors and families and friends of affected individuals who raise money for these heart screening events. However, at the moment, the activity of community-based funding is not supported by the UK National Screening Committee.
So what, as an expert in this field, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, when you look at the numbers, where, and I guess thinking about the condition, as I said, it's rare, but the impact is quite
devastating.
Significant.
Devastating.
Absolutely. You know, not just in terms of the impact on individuals and their families, but also if you look at the economics and healthcare costs of sudden cardiac arrest, quite significant. From our perspective, being a supporter of the charity and working with them closely and also working in this space and understanding the devastation associated with these conditions, we strongly advocate for pushing the government and politicians to be funding screening from the age of 14 and cry screens up to the age of 35, where these genetic heart conditions are more prevalent.
And these are these electrocardiograms, right? Is that the screening we're talking about?
Yes, so the screening process involves a couple of key aspects. Firstly, completing a health questionnaire that covers relevant symptoms and family history. Perhaps there was a misdiagnosis associated with a sudden unexpected death in family, or an individual might be, you know, active and playing sport and experience some discomfort in the chest, palpitations or symptoms that just aren't quite right. That might be overlooked. But the next step is then performing an electrocardiogram or an ECG, which is a trace of the heart's electrical activity. And we use that to look for clues that fit with diagnosis of rare conditions, including arrhythmogenic cardiomyopathy. So they may be quite subtle. They might not be common findings that a general physician may be looking for, say, in an A&E department or a general practice setting, and even amongst heart specialists, this is a subspecialty area that requires close attention and looking for these key changes.
So reading the journalistic report, and that's journalists for you, they say that this is common between 14 and 35, but presumably something doesn't just switch off at 35, but that's broadly, if you get to your mid or late 30s, you're probably in a good place. Is that the reality here?
Well, when we talk about the development of these conditions or the penetrance of these conditions related to the genetic predisposition, they can develop later in life. The age group of interest who we screen with Cardiac Risk in the Young, that's where we don't want to miss a diagnosis and where we start seeing the disease present itself. However, interestingly, I can reflect on a few cases where individuals will turn up to have a procedure, but they have an ECG done because they haven't had one done in their life before, and we see these changes and then they get diagnosed later in life, and they've been lucky to not have suffered a fatal heart rhythm disorder or cardiac arrest.
Lastly, I note that athletes are routinely screened for heart conditions by sporting bodies. Is that because of a sense of concern that they might be overexerting that organ, or what's the thinking behind that, Doctor?
So that's a group who are at higher risk of sudden unexpected death due to these conditions. And if we focus on arrhythmogenic cardiomyopathy, which is the focus of the case mentioned in the news article, exercise at higher intensities can advance the process of inflammation and weakness of the heart muscle, leading to scarring. So there is that association, and because of the strain that's put on the body, be it a professional elite athlete or a recreational athlete who exercises at quite high intensity and high volume, exercise can enhance the disease process, especially with this condition.
Thanks for all the detail. Comprehensive background too. Doctor, thank you. Dr. Daniel Tardo, cardiologist and clinical research fellow at St. George's Hospital, London. Maybe come to calls on that. In the first hour of the show, I told you the front page of one of the newspapers, the story this morning was that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has now been banned from riding his horse. This is because too many photographs have been taken grinning, and it doesn't appear, according to Royal Circles, that's a good look. Robin Essex, if Andrew pays for the horse's stabling costs and owns the horse, he should keep riding it, but this is the usual press strategy. Ben's in East London, he has not been found guilty in a court of law for anything. This is typical of the UK society. And in St. Albans, this ban is born out of spite. He's hardly in a mood for grinning now, is he? And Scott in West Ham said, I don't think it's right. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor not allowed to ride his horse. Animals can be a great comfort to people who are going through a crisis. A lot of reaction to Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and his horse. But let's talk about this heart condition. Rosie is in Orpington. Rosie, what can you tell me about this? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. My daughter lived in the Eltham area, and both my grandchildren, when they were teenagers, well, they're still just out of their teens, went to Cry and had this screening. And just to say that it is a fantastic charity. I think they hold it at places like, I think they went to a rugby club.
Okay.
Where they have certain dates where they do it, you know, and ring and make an appointment.
And did you say this is your daughter's children, did you say?
Yes.
Why did she decide it was so important?
Well, she just heard of it, and both of her kids play football with her. Yep. One of them is quite an athlete.
And what age are your grandsons?
Now, 17 and 18.
Okay, and they're still sporting lads, are they?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, and do they do it annually, or how regularly do they do this?
Well, they only went once, I don't know. You shouldn't do it annually, I don't think.
The experts say every 3 to 5 years. Experts are the...
Oh, really? She should maybe get it done again then.
Okay, next time you're speaking with your daughter, just reference it and say, there's a lot of media attention to it, and they do say sort of every 3 to 5 years if you can. Obviously for sporting lads and girls, you would want to look to that. Rosie, thank you for that. I will finish because I've got to get to the news. Coming up after the news, and never mind the BAFTA, the Oscar for the biggest bungle goes to...
Tourette syndrome is a disability, and the tics you've heard tonight are involuntary, which means the person who has Tourette syndrome has no control over their language. We apologise if you were offended.
The award goes to the BBC. That's the host of the BAFTAs, Alan Cumming, as it's now revealed... Executives failed to act on a request to cut the N-word from coverage of the ceremony from Warner Brothers, the movie company. We'll have more on that after this. 8:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Energy Secretary has rejected suggestions that the 7% drop in the energy price cap won't be enough to help struggling families. From April, the average household will save around £117 a year on their gas and electricity bills. The Prime Minister has told LBC that he won't stop until bills are down for good. Starmer says today's drop in the price cap is because of the action the Chancellor took in the budget. You can read Sir Keir's exclusive article on the LBC app. And President Trump has used his annual State of the Union address to double down on his promise to impose global tariffs. During the record 1 hour 47 minute speech, he claimed other countries are happy with his trade levies. LBC weather: outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Why is someone eighth in line to their own seventh? We don't need it.
I think three, max. One, two and three, that's all you need. Everyone else can be jettisoned. That's because we don't need any more than that. And then they will be forced to, God forbid, go and get a proper job or, you know, actually contribute to their own piles of cash. That might be the way forward, I think. Don't see anything wrong with it. Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. Helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service, and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Did you know HGVs have four zones of limited vision around them? If you're in one of these areas, you may not be seen by the driver. These four limited vision zones are in front, behind, and at both sides of the HGV. So when you're driving around a HGV, don't linger around them, because they may not notice you're there. Know the HGV zones. National Highways.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:35 now. I deliberately went into a lot of detail, so I'm sorry I couldn't take, Alex, your call concerning the Green Party. If you're just joining us, the extraordinary size of a support now growing for parties on both extremes, Reform on the right, if I can say that, and Greens on the left. Alex, coming to you. This is what you're saying on the emails, as one newspaper is reporting leaked policy documents. I say documents, not actual policies. Steve is furious. Free housing for migrants while we have homeless British people. I'm not green anymore. They're just the same as before. British become second-class citizens in their own country. Meanwhile, David says Israel's actions in Gaza is the overriding issue of our time. The Green Party are perfectly entitled to prioritise this, particularly given what's happening in Gaza. Now, that is a story in the Times that Labour are saying at the by-election that they're seeking to maximise or weaponise that. Lloyd says, I will be voting Green. They're the only party addressing the action and issues facing our country, not fabricated ones. Alex in Exeter. Alex, how do you view the Green Party? Would you vote for them? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. You all right?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Hear you well. Go ahead.
I think I'll be voting for the Greens just because I just feel it's the only real vote for human compassion and decency.
Okay.
I'm 23 and I graduated uni last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really disillusioned with everybody else. And it just feels like Zach Polanski's the only guy that really understands, especially people more my age.
In what way does he show that he understands folk your age, would you say, Alex?
I feel like a lot of people my age see the main issues with our country as like wealth inequality and just like the hoarding of wealth by the elites. And also, like, I don't know, all this stuff with immigration that gets made like a main talking point by parties like Reform. This has been a talking point for decades. Mm. This is like a reoccurring issue that comes up again and again and again and again. And it just always feels like it's more of a distraction by the elites to get away with just hoarding massive amounts of wealth rather than an actual issue that we really have. I mean, obviously nobody wants like completely unregulated migration. Yeah. And, you know, obviously if what you've said, what the newspapers have said about migrants, asylum seekers coming here and getting houses and getting paid to not work.
These are internal documents. They didn't publish them as policies. But go ahead, Alex, because I don't want to misrepresent them. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that is true, then obviously that is a little bit concerning. But again, like you said, that's not something that's confirmed. So,
what is it? Do you mind my asking? Because we were talking exactly this time yesterday with the education secretary, and we were taking calls from folk just like you, roughly your age, who in one instance had racked up somewhere in the region of, I recall, 55, maybe 60,000 pounds worth of debt in the student loan. And in another one, had did everything right, got his A-levels, got his degree, but couldn't get a job. If long I'm not being too personal, have you been able to find employment? And are you, can I use the word, saddled with student loans?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot in student loans that I'll have to try to repay back. I have a job, but it's not like a kind of graduate job. Right. I've not really been too successful finding a graduate job. My degree's in, that's all right. My degree's in neuroscience, but I still, yeah, just haven't been able to find anything.
What attracted you to becoming a neuroscientist? God, you must be a bright fellow. What attracted you to becoming a neuroscientist, Alex?
I was just really interested in it, really. I mean, my nan had a few medical issues quite a few years back to do with the brain, and that kind of prompted me to look into that kind of thing. But so I'm looking into going into teaching, maybe.
Oh, I was
going
to say, what are you doing now to sort of pay the rent or whatever it might be?
I just deliver parcels at the minute. It gets me by, just.
Of course. I mean, can I say, no wonder you're a little disaffected by the United Kingdom. You're a trained neuroscientist, and I don't want to be derogatory because folk need their parcels, but you're a trained neuroscientist and you're doing deliveries.
Yeah, it's maybe not what I should be doing, but it's enjoyable nonetheless.
All right, well, credit to you, sir, and well done. Stick with it. You sound a tremendous bloke. And thank you for explaining what the motivation is for voting Green. I see it from your point of view. I'm considerably older than you. My children are older than you. Yeah, maybe I think differently. I was 23 and I'd come out with a degree in neuroscience and I was driving a van. Again, not knocking folk who drive vans. We all need them. More calls on that in just a moment. Shall we go back to the BAFTAs? And I've said many times, certainly the BAFTA for bungling goes to the BBC, probably the Oscar now. Remember this apology from the host, Alan Cumming.
You may have heard some strong and offensive language tonight. If you've seen the film I Swear, you will know that film is about the experience of a person with Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is a disability, and the tics you've heard tonight are involuntary, which means the person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. We apologise if you were offended.
Now, after that unfortunate, of course, incident, Warner Brothers, the movie company, told BAFTA the remark by the campaigner John Davidson had to be cut from the broadcast. It's also been revealed that Mr. Davidson, who suffers with Tourette's, also used the slur pedo directed towards Alan Cumming when he made a joke about taking home Paddington Bear. Again, John Davidson decided to remove himself from the festival hall because he realised he was causing offence. But back to this one. So BAFTA tells the Warner Brothers tell BAFTA. BAFTA then say to the BBC, can you cut it? And in classic BBC style, it would appear the message never got through, the BBC refusing to comment when asked by the Daily Mirror yesterday why it hadn't been cut. Here's the view of Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch on LBC.
It's quite clear that they haven't learned the lessons from Glastonbury. I think it was really shocking and embarrassing for those presenters to have had that happen, but those things happen in real life. There's no reason for it to have been broadcast.
To Hugh Muir, who's executive editor of Opinion at The Guardian newspaper. Hugh, you and I have been around this industry for exactly the same time. We came into it as kids and cadets together. What does the BBC need to learn from this particular story, would you say? Hugh, morning to you.
Morning to you. This is really unfair, Nick, because you're making me say that I agree with Kemi Badenoch.
I've got him at last. 45 years, I finally got him.
They clearly have to have a proper investigation into their procedures when they do these sorts of broadcasts. They're very good at them. I mean, they do those state occasions that we all love. These big productions are something that they are good at, but they have messed up too. The Glastonbury one with Bob Villain and the things that they allowed him to say, broadcast that he shouldn't have been able to say, and now this. Clearly there's something going wrong with their procedures. In this case, they had 3 hours between the word being said and their ability to actually edit it out before they broadcast that programme, and they didn't do it, and they're going to have to really look hard as to why that happened, who's responsible for that, because it does start to look systemic.
Hugh, let me ask you this. This story has got just about everything. We've got those slurs. We've got the incredible dignity with which the Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo handled it on stage. You've got the fact that the Palestine line was edited out. You've got someone suffering the condition of Tourette's syndrome. What is the overall take from this for you, Hugh Muir, as the executive editor of opinion for The Guardian News.
Do you know, I feel as if I'm kind of embarrassed on behalf of the nation, because I just keep looking at that picture of those two black Americans, and just if you're thinking, if you strip this down, you have two guys who flew thousands of miles across the world to come to this ceremony because we invited them, and then they're subject to having hurled at them probably the worst insult that you can level at a black American. We know why it happened, so we don't blame John Davidson. But as I said, they're incredible dignity in the way they dealt with it, but you can just see the pain in their faces in the pictures of it. And one thing that's really struck me is a quote that from Delroy Lindo afterwards, when he said that he wished someone from BAFTA had spoken to them afterwards. I think that's really unforgivable, but they were their guests, and this happened, and they clearly didn't, you know, just go to them and comfort them and explain it to them. I think the whole thing's really embarrassing, and if I were a black American invited to the BAFTAs next year, I'd say, nah, you know what, I'm all right, I'll watch it on telly.
Hugh, as ever, on the money. Look after yourself, sport. Hugh Muir, executive editor, opinion at The Guardian. No need to all flood in. We know Delroy Lindo is British-American, born here but now lives in the US. Michael B. Jordan is fully American, for want of a better expression. Now, that's an interesting point, isn't it? These two Americans, I know, British-American, they hear that word, and that's, welcome to Britain. Welcome to Britain, you N-word. And then there's no apology from BAFTA afterwards. I mean, you can't fault the BBC on this one. Where was a senior member of BAFTA going up to this? Look, I'm terribly sorry, just for context. I hope you know the movie, I Swear. You know where this has come from? That is shocking by BAFTA, isn't it? It actually begs the question, which is the worse offender, the BBC or BAFTA? The BBC for not editing it out, BAFTA for not going up to either of the two fellows and saying, look, I can't apologise enough, this has all gone hideously bloody wrong. We'll take your views on that. Ginny, you are going to be telling me whether you would or wouldn't vote Green. And later in this hour,
voters go to the polls tomorrow in what could be one of the most significant by-elections in recent years. I'm LBC's Liam Gotting in Gorton and Denton.
You'll hear that report later in the hour. It is 8:45, so we need the LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Energy bills are set to drop by around £117 a year for the typical household in England, Scotland and Wales. Sir Keir Starmer has exclusively told LBC, despite today's fall in the energy price cap, he won't stop until bills are down for good. And President Trump has used his annual State of the Union address to double down on his promise to impose global tariffs. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are long delays on the M1 northbound to Junction 14 at Milton Keynes. It had been closed for a number of hours and through the night because of the emergency repair works. But it's open now, but it's still very slow. And then there are severe delays on the M1 southbound from Junction 14 at Milton Keynes down to 12 at Flitwick after two separate accidents. Delays on the Essex stretch of the M25 anti-clockwise to Junction 28 at the A12. That was after the accident that happened earlier. The A12's very busy in both directions at Gant Hill, and that's following an accident. Just north of King's Cross, the Caledonian Road remains closed in both directions after that huge burst water main yesterday.
This is LBC.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for tonight's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
There are two types of drive you can have on the motorway. One that feels like this.
Or one that feels...
like this. The difference is just a few little changes. Like giving more space to the car in front. Or not hogging the middle lane. Because being a little more considerate on the road actually reduces congestion and collisions. Which transforms everyone's journey. So we all feel a little less. And a lot more. National Highways.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify Pasta Sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavour. Dolmio, yeah!
Do you know your state pension age? No. Maybe you're not sure. Or you don't know how to check. It's so quick and easy to check online. All you need is your date of birth. Knowing your state pension age helps you think about your future. So check yours today. Search state pension age on gov.uk and simply enter your date of birth. State pension age. It's good to know.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Are you going green? Lots of people are. 849 Ginny, you're the next caller. Saul says with a text, the Greens are inclusive, not exclusive. Have we not had enough of politics and elite society only for the boys? Meanwhile, Sandy in Amersham, if the Green Party's internal proposals for migrants to house them, pay wages without work, at taxpayers' expense, they won't get any votes at all. This is insanity in the face of struggling working people. Ginny and Barnett, how do you portray, or how do you perceive, I'm sorry, perceive the Green Party? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
I wouldn't vote for them, just in the fact that what they're saying now. I mean, they have lovely agendas in the past, I can say. I'm not involved in politics, but I do listen, and I'm a responsible citizen in this country. I'll be going for the vote. But what are they saying? Where the money will come from? How will they be providing houses? We have young generation. They're struggling for the employment, jobless young. You can see your last caller. He's a new...
Well, what I took from Alex, and I'm really grateful that young Alex, well, he's young to me, that Alex phoned in, is there's obviously a bright bloke who's got a degree in neuroscience. No wonder he feels the country's failed him. Now, that means you possibly look to political extremes, but the idea that you would go to the Greens, who would ship in loads more people, well, if they to put it out as policy, for the fourth time I'll say this was an internal document, that's not going to solve anything.
Yeah, do you know, Nick, if this is going to happen, England will be the crime zone. Yeah, and our young generation will leave them without employment, without houses, and the taxpayers. They will be earning day and night, and they will be paying money for those people. Well, I have respect to the young people. They are suffering. We can support in many ways. Yeah. We don't have to provide them free houses. We don't have to. Why will we be getting that money?
I mean, it's not only, of course, we've had plenty of crime here before people started arriving in this country, Ginny. It's not necessarily fair to say all of that, is it, do you think?
No. I mean, we are currently struggling with everything. We can see the economics. If we are saying something that we'll be providing houses, that means we have to set up everything from the scratch. And it's a huge commitment. On the basis of what are they committing? Are they paying from their own pocket? Politicians, will they be paying from their own pocket?
No. And with the greatest respect to Ed Miliband, and he knew when he talks about the cost of living, I would say to him, I don't think he's up to speed with the cost of items on the supermarket shelves. I wonder the last time he pushed a trolley through Sainsbury's or Aldi or Lidl. Ginny, thank you. Ethan, coming to you. We're also talking about BAFTA and the BBC row. Karen says, why should BAFTA apologise? They didn't say the word. The man who has Tourette's did. He said it because he has Tourette's. Well, if you don't think, Karen, inviting two people from a different country to give away an award, and they stand there, and as soon as they take to the stage, someone shouts the N-word, if you don't think the organisers should at least apologise to those two men, I'm at least a little bit surprised. Paul says the BBC were right to air the BAFTAs, otherwise we're going backwards and hiding people with Tourette's. Shouldn't we make people aware of it? I sense, Paul, there's more awareness of the Tourette syndrome now than there was in the last 3 days than there was certainly going into the weekend. Let's talk green. Let's go green with Ethan in Guildford. Ethan, your view of the Green Party or potential policies. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, I think it's kind of like politics. Like in England, it's Conservative Labour.
And but I it's think, not. Do you think it is anymore? I don't know that it is.
Who has a chance? What, Nigel Farage or...
If you look at the polls, and I know polls are polls, but let me quickly add up. 18, 17, OK, so the two parties you just mentioned together are worth 34, nationally, 34% of the vote. So they struggle, the two heritage parties, as I call them, struggle to get a third of the vote. I don't know that it is, Ethan.
Right. So you're talking about Labour and Conservative, yes?
Yes.
And then we've got, across the pond, we've got the Democrats and Republicans, and that's a shambles, isn't it?
It depends whether you're a MAGA guy or not. If you're a Trump fan, you're probably going to say they're going gangbusters. Well, if you're not, you're going to say it's sometimes quite embarrassing.
I think Trump is like Johnny Cash. He's a cowboy.
Right.
But he gets stuff done. He shook hands with Kim Jong-un from North Korea to
if we just come back lastly to your view of politics here in the United Kingdom, you say you don't think the Conservative and Labour are possibly facing some form of joint extinction, but why are they doing so badly then? Why would two-thirds of the electorate go anywhere else?
I don't know. Bring back the 80s, Maggie Thatcher.
All right. Have a good one down there in Guildford, Ethan. He's off the decaf, isn't he? I hate it when Ethan's on caffeinated coffee. Can you send some more decaf down to Guildford, pronto? Thanks, Ethan. Let's go to the BAFTAs. Mark's in Brighton. Mark, who's the greater offender here, in your view? BBC or BAFTAs? Good morning. Hello, Mark, can you hear me? This is all going well, isn't it? Mark, why don't we just play records? Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sorry about that.
No, not at all, sir. I trust you're well. How's Brighton today?
Sunny.
How lovely. The sun hitting the sea there and the beach. Oh, how gorgeous. Are you going to be able to enjoy it, or have you got to go to work today?
I've got to go to work today.
Oh, you poor old sir. What do you do, sir?
Joiner.
OK, you got plenty of work coming in?
Slowing down.
Oh,
slowing
no.
Slowing down.
No.
The whole trade, everyone's slowing down because of the economic policies that have been pushed through
When you say joiner, do you not work when houses are built and things like that? You don't do joinery there?
No. We make items, basically.
Oh, I see. Okay, so
that's
people
aren't... carpentry.
People aren't buying sideboards and wardrobes or whatever else, or chests?
No, things are slowing down a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Now, let's talk about this BAFTA row. It's been running, for 3 days, or 4 days, if you allow the first day. What do you make of it? What do you take from it, Mark?
Well, I think they should apologise. The two gentlemen shouldn't have been subjected to that.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was Tourette's.
Yeah.
And I don't think the BBC should cut it out. The media is there, as far as I'm concerned, to be my eyes and ears of what is going on.
Good point.
I don't want opinion. And that's the BBC is so biased in certain aspects. I just want the news to report... And I will form my opinions. I don't want the news to be presented in a way that has already formed opinions.
The problem there is, and you're right, and I'm glad you see the role of the media as the eyes and ears. If I take you to the event such as last Glastonbury, where you had the supposed musician Bob Villain talking about death to the IDF, surely you would agree there that has to be edited out, Mark.
No, because that's what really happened. If you were there, it's like, so someone that's there sees that,
right.
Someone that's not there doesn't see that.
But,
so this is where we start getting a lot of contradictions going on. with people saying what's going on, what's not going on. We get conspiracy theories, this, that and the other.
I really value your opinion, but what I'm putting to you is, what you're saying is, and I'd ask you to think, it's okay to knowingly offend people.
If that is news, if it's live, that's what is actually happening, and then people can form their opinions on it.
But many people will be really hurt by death to the IDF, or the N-word, or even Palestine.
Oh, poor.
Well, you say that, sir. You say that. Can I just say, I don't know, and you don't have an answer. I don't know whether you happen to be a black person, and it's absolutely none of my business, but a lot of black people understandably find that word loathsome, and surely an organisation such as the...
Black friends that I've got find the fact that it is such an issue made out of it is quite loathsome. It's a word. It's context. This is the trouble that we've got nowadays. We focus on a word. We don't focus on the context.
But sir, speaking... And years ago, I used to manage broadcast organisations. Unbelievably. I know they're very short of staff. But you have to be aware of the impact for all your viewers or listeners, not just your friends who are completely relaxed about it. If I'm running a news organisation and I hear that word, no, I've got to be aware for the ones whose sensitivities, who it's really going to upset, Mark. Do you see that?
Yeah, but that is reality. If it's a drama or something like that, yes, written, so it's not...
But this is an award ceremony, Mark. It's not a news bulletin.
No, but it's what's really happened. We can't... This whole narrative of trying to change reality is part of the reason we're in such a damn mess. And we've got so many conspiracy theories and we've got so much hate going on because we are not given the facts straight.
Lastly, then, if you were the news editor here at LBC or over at Sky News or over at the BBC, there'd be no check. The P word... The N-word, the C-word, just let it run.
With apologies, I would... depends on how it was said. This guy was Tourette's.
I know.
If someone's coming on and being vile, then...
But that's news. Hang on, Mark, you just said that's news, didn't you? Didn't you just say... had the man who shouted the N-word not had Tourette's, well, that's news, so that's fine. That just happens to be a vile racist, but we'll still air it because, in your book,
yeah,
Mark,
because that's what actually happened. And on your radio station, you would do a very, very good job, if someone was being vile, to pick him up on it.
Right, but again, you have to be aware of the other listeners who are so appalled. Mark, really enjoyed our conversation. May you carry on joining, if there was a movie. Carry on with all of that, and I hope you get plenty of work in. A lot of people responding to that, but we will move on with this assertion, nay, pledge from Wes Streeting on LBC. Yes, Health Secretary Wes Streeting on LBC.
Patient satisfaction with access to general practice has gone from 60% to 75%, and we've rolled out online access across the country.
So why do half of patients say they don't try and see their GP? And do politicians know the cost of living?
We get that the cost of living crisis is the number one issue, and we are trying to do something about it and try to make a difference, and there's some relief. And that's the way I'd describe today. Some relief for people.
Some relief? Oh, £10 almost a month off their bills. But in reality, how aloof, how detached are our politicians? 9 o'clock news on LBC, though, is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a cabinet minister has rejected suggestions the 7% drop in energy bills won't be enough to help struggling families. From April, the average household in England, Wales and Scotland will save around £117 a year. The regulator Ofgem has announced its latest price cap this morning. Speaking to Nick, the Energy Secretary Ed Miliband dismissed claims that politicians are out of touch with those trying to make ends meet.
Look across the board at what we're doing, raising the minimum wage to help people. Taking action on childcare.
It doesn't
to help
feel like that in Morrison's and Asda, though. Do you know the price of a Mars bar?
I'm not going to get into a quiz
no,
questions with you.
Politicians are so removed from reality.
I'm not going to do the Nick Ferrari quiz, I'm afraid.
Politicians are removed from reality. Ed Miliband, nice bloke, but when did he last go to Sainsbury's? That's what they'll say.
I know the reality that people face.
Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC despite this morning's drop in the price cap, he won't stop until bills are down for good. But the Prime Minister has conceded too many households are still feeling the pressure from the cost of living crisis. You can read Sir Keir's exclusive article on the LBC app. Donald Trump has broken the record for the longest ever State of the Union address. The US president spoke for an hour and 47 minutes overnight, breaking his previous record by 7 minutes. He told Congress he'd overseen a turnaround for the ages through his economic agenda, but he also showed no sign of backing down on his tariffs regime, despite last week's ruling that most of his levies are illegal.
The good news is that almost all countries and corporations want to keep the deal that they already made, knowing that the legal power that I, as president, have to make a new deal could be far worse for them.
Government grants for people to install electric vehicle charge points are to rise by more than 40%. Households and businesses will be able to save up to £500 from April, around half the typical overall cost. And visitors to the UK need an electronic travel authorisation, or ETA, from today. The digital permission costs £16 and allows multiple journeys of up to 6 months over 2 years. Those without one won't be able to board their flight, ferry or train. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 89 at 10,768. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
What's the secret to feeling young? Cryo chambers? Vampire facials? Really? The real secret to feeling young is simply living young. And right now you can roll young with £500 off across the SEAT range on top of existing offers, including the fun new SEAT Ibiza and Arona. But this offer won't last forever. Order by the 31st of March. SEAT. Rolling young. UK retail customers excluding contract hire. 18 plus. Order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after nine on Wednesday, February the 25th. In this hour, how healthy is our National Health Service? All the promises and pledges from Wes Streeting, when, of course, in opposition and now in power. But the reality, according to a survey, well, here's the headline. Half of adults avoid going to the GP, so is he getting healthier or less healthy under Labour? We'll look at that. Plus, back to that conversation you heard, part of which you heard played out on the news bulletin there by Dominic Ellis, Ed Miliband saying that help is on the way, relief is on the way. But as I said, do you think any of them, not just Mr. Miliband, when was the last, and I appreciate those security reasons, but when is the last time you imagine someone such as Rachel Reeves, Sir Keir Starmer, actually pushed a trolley down Asda in all honesty and thought, my God, they're putting anti-theft devices now on cheese. And the morning after the day before, or the morning before tomorrow's big by-election, we'll go to Gorton and Denton to get a view of the runners and riders. And is there an electoral blip on its way? That's later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The headline on today's Daily Express, it's also on the front page of The Guardian, but they don't splash it, could hardly be more stark. Half of adults avoid going to the GP for help. Millions went without the health care they need, as almost half of adults avoid or delay contacting a GP last year. The top reasons people give include problems contacting surgeries, and then when the questions were asked by the Health Foundation think tank, together with Ipsos, they said the general standard of NHS care has worsened in the last year. Only one in eight, or 12%, said that it had improved. If you'll allow the last year, actually year and a bit, year and a half, is under the stewardship of the Labour government, my question to you over the last 18, 19 months, the health of the National Health Service, has it improved, has it deteriorated, or has it stayed roughly the same? We're going to be speaking with some experts, indeed, two doctors, actually, for that matter, in a moment. But first, let's hear from Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary. Well, he was speaking with my LBC colleague Andrew Marr last night, as he announced GPs in England will have to guarantee same-day appointments for patients with urgent need. Mr. Streeting said he's working hard to provide good, quality health care all round.
The last GP contract, when we came in, we put £1.1 billion
into general practice. It was the biggest uplift in a generation. That's enabled us to now have 2,000 more GPs in the NHS today than we did when Labour came in. Patient satisfaction with access to general practice has gone from 60% to 75%. And we've rolled out online access across the country. In fact, in December, 7 million patients across the country accessed their GPs via the online channel. Now, when we said we'd do online access, the BMA were very concerned. They were worried it wouldn't work, that we were asking too much. But broadly speaking, and of course, there are always some places that struggle a bit more than others, but broadly speaking, it's been a success. And so here we are today with the next round of the contract, an extra $485 million on top of the $1.1 billion we put in last year, a real terms increase in funding. And that will fund the equivalent of 1,600 full-time equivalent GPs. And this focus, as you say, on making sure that we are not just measuring, but delivering same-day access in urgent cases. But I'm now in a position, having been this job for over 18 months now, approaching 2 years in July, where I can now say to people, the reason you should trust this is not because of the quality of our promises, but the fact we've kept our promises so far and it's moving in the right direction. Even though, let's take that patient satisfaction number, 3 in 4 satisfied, I'm happy with that. 1 in 4 dissatisfied, I'm not happy about that, and I'm determined to sort that out.
Wes Streeting speaking yesterday. Let's turn to Dr. Jess Harvey, who's a GP in Shropshire and part of the Rebuild General Practice campaign. So what is your assessment, what is your diagnosis of what's been achieved over the last 18 months, Doctor? Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Not at all.
Listen, I think there's a reality here in terms of that trying to turn around an organisation such as the NHS isn't going to happen as quickly as 18 months. I think, you know, what I think is really important to recognise, and I appreciate the sort of the headlines that are in the papers today, but actually the incredible job that is being done across the NHS to try and help patients, and certainly within general practice, there's been quite a negative rhetoric towards general practice that I certainly noticed an uptick of during COVID, and I think that's continued. And I think actually it's really important to recognise that actually GP appointments are now at a sort of record high, with over sort of nearly 31 million appointments delivered on a monthly basis, which has increased massively.
How many of those are
no
in
increased
person,
resource,
Doctor?
Well, in terms of the proportion delivered by online and phone there is sort of since we've had COVID, we now have more tools available to us. So about 62% are face-to-face and the rest are done sort of by a phone, online and in other ways. But we've certainly seen, you know, since October when the online access was sort of much more promoted by the government, an uptick in that. But that's not necessarily a negative thing. I think if you are a working person and have a rash that you just want to have checked, or you are a carer and just want a simple change in a medication or something on those lines, and actually an online consultation is completely appropriate. We've certainly seen in areas where actually the sort of total triage is approached, which is everyone going through that, that actually access is improved for those patients, because the people that need seeing that day get seen that day. The people who need something doing that can be done quickly by somebody else gets done. And it means actually it's much more navigable for our patients.
But this does seem to be in stark contrast to what the Health Foundation think tank has found out, where they say people wait in long telephone queues for an appointment. They can't get an appointment that day. 48% of patients thus avoid or delay contact for a year.
Yeah. And do you know what? And it's really difficult when you hear that, because when you're working in that workplace and you're working sort of back to back, it's relentless, you're working as hard as you possibly can, then actually there isn't any much more that you can give. So when you have a saturated service, then trying to increase the expectation for that service really doesn't help. Essentially, I want any patient who feels that they need to have contact with us to be able to feel that they can contact us. And it does make me sad that there's people that feel that they can't contact us. I think what is important to recognise within that survey is that there are other ways now to access healthcare. We certainly know that Pharmacy First has been a really great introduction, which has not only helped patients to access things for sort of those sort of more minor illnesses such as rashes, hay fever, urine infections, but that's also helped to secure secure funding for our pharmacies who are on a very, in a very difficult financial position as well. So
grateful for your time. I will leave it there, Doctor. Let you get back to your efforts and looking after your patients in Shropshire. Dr. Jess Harvey, GP there, and part of the Rebuild General Practice campaign. Listening to that, another doctor, Rachel Clark, who's an NHS palliative care doctor, wrote the book Breathtaking, her account of working on COVID wards during the first wave of the pandemic, and as doctor, of course, has been on my show several times since then, and joins me again now. Okay, doctor, Wes Streeting's diagnosis of the patient is not fully recovered, but definitely getting better. Would you concur? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. And no, I wouldn't, because as a doctor, I have to be honest always with patients, the public. You know, if patients can't trust you, you're not doing your job as a doctor properly. And I think from my perspective, I work in a very big, busy urban hospital. Things, I'm afraid, are dire, and I would just be dishonest if I didn't say that. So these figures in the survey are no surprise at all to me, and I don't think they would be to any of my hospital colleagues. To give you an idea of how bad things are, we're familiar with winter crises. Well, we're now in late February, and many, many hospitals in the UK are still on black alert. They're declaring critical incidents because they have absolutely run out of beds. And only very recently, I have been seeing patients. I'm a palliative care doctor, so I've been seeing patients who are dying. They're entering the last weeks, days, maybe hours of their life. And Nick, they are not in a hospital bed. If they're lucky, they're on a trolley in a corridor. There are patients who can't even get onto a trolley. They're having to sit in a chair in agony because hospitals are so full, because despite the fact that Wes Streeting has now been in power for 20 months, he has still not prioritised fixing this travesty of patients being trapped in corridors in hospitals. And that's what I'm seeing at work every day. And it's
just to clarify, Doctor, sorry to talk over you, people are dying in their chairs or dying on trolleys in corridors because we can't get them into rooms or wards.
Yes, yes. God. This is still happening. And this isn't a party political point. This was happening under the previous Conservative government, but when Labour came to power on day one in office, Wes Streeting said the official policy of my department is that the NHS is broken. I am honest about that and I'm going to fix it. And I applauded him at the time publicly for his honesty. I said he's right, and it's a relief to have a health secretary who is owning this and saying, yes, I'm not going to be dishonest. So how is it now that this is still happening? It's still horrific for patients. And now, apparently, the talk is all about the statistics that prove that everything is being fixed when it isn't. And I sometimes weep at the end of the day in hospital because of the mismatch between what we all want to do as doctors, nurses, for our patients. We all want to provide the best care we can, and our hands are tied because nothing's been fixed.
Lastly, on a professional level, what are your feelings, emotions towards the Secretary of State for Health, Wes Streeting?
I want him to behave today as he did on his first day in office, when he was honest and told the truth to the public. And if he cannot do that today, 20 months into office, then that's a real problem, because he is meant to be leading the health service with the duty of candour that every single NHS doctor like me has. He is meant to lead us and represent us to the public. And the only way he can do that is to be honest and, crucially, to act in ways that match his word.
Thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I'll let you get on with your incredibly important and challenging work, which clearly you enjoy. And thank you for the work you do. Dr. Rachel Clark is an NHS palliative care doctor, talking about working with people as they die in hospital chairs and on trolleys in hospital corridors. She also wrote the book Breathtaking. Calls coming on that. Paul, you're going to be the first caller. Coming up after that, we're going to be discussing the cost of living. Speaking with me in the first hour of the show, Energy Secretary Ed Miliband lauding the fact that energy price cap brings bills down a little bit, says the job is still on.
We get that the cost of living crisis is the number one issue, and we are trying to do something about it and trying to make a difference, and there's some relief. And that's the way I'd describe today. Some relief for people.
And Dave in Rayleigh has already texted, when was the last time you pushed a trolley around Sainsbury's, and what's the cost of a Mars bar? I'm waiting to hear. Dave, I was in Lidl yesterday buying yogurts and milk and some rice, and I was in Tesco's on Sunday. Oh, and it's £1.20. 9.15, LBC News headlines now. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Energy Secretary has rejected suggestions that the 7% drop in the energy price cap won't be enough to help struggling families. Sir Keir Starmer's exclusively told LBC, despite a fall in energy prices, he won't stop until bills are down for good. And President Trump has used his annual State of the Union address to double down on his promise to impose global tariffs. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the M1 southbound from Junction 14 at Milton Keynes down to 12 at Flitwick. It's because of two separate accidents. Long delays on the M25 anti-clockwise from Junction 30 at the A13 to 28 at the A12. Those emergency repair works are still taking place and one lane is closed for recovery. Long delays on the A12 southbound to the M25. There's a load of debris across the road. And also at Gants Hill, there are delays on the A12 both ways because of the ongoing investigation. Just north of King's Cross, the Caledonian Road remains closed both ways, and that's because of that huge burst water main that happened yesterday, so all the buses that usually go that way are on diversion.
This is LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen. Stop working. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and help support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time, a chance to recharge yourself and your phone, to stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "All Change, Please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for tonight's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Right, we'll come to the very important issue of the NHS in just a moment. Paul, you'll be the first caller on that. Paul, another Paul, says, you weren't in Lidl. Prove it, you liar. Michael, the lifeboatman of Kent, says, I refuse to believe Nick Ferrari's ever been in a Lidl. I'll even tell you what was in the centre aisle, but I don't think I know need to. Dave in Camberwell. Dave, can you vouch for the fact you have seen me in a Lidl?
I've seen you in Lidl. I've also seen you in a big Sainsbury's numerous times.
Thank you.
And also seen you in a Tesco's in Woolwich once, I think. However, my recommendation is go to the Sid Cup Tesco's, and opposite is the Lidl's. They're much better.
That's the one next to the car place that used to sell Jaguars. I don't know if it still does.
Yes.
I know. I like a supermarket.
I see you numerous times.
Bless you,
on
mate.
Many occasions.
Yes, go on.
Royal Standard You need to check out the Apple turnovers in Marks and Spencer's.
I love Marks and Spencer's at the Royal Standard. It's just over from, just down from that lovely kebab
pharmacy,
shop.
The
kebab shop as well, on the corner there.
Yeah, oh, perfect location. But check out the Apple turnovers, and all right. I'm going to say is put one in the toaster.
Oh, Dave.
And it's like an apple pie from McDonald's.
There we go. It's but they're hotter than the sun, of course, to quote Alan Partridge. Bless you, Dave. Thank you. There, Michael, the lifeboatman from Kent. You can stick that up your rib, your dinghy. I do go stick that up your Yamaha outboard. I do go to these. I actually enjoy I genuinely enjoy going to supermarkets. And seriously, please don't think I would. But how on earth can I start asking politicians the price of milk if I haven't got the slightest clue myself? By the way, Rick says, how many Mars bars do you buy? That's probably a fair conversation. Actually, I don't buy that many, but some people in my life do. OK, Dave, safe. Thank you. Proof. Done. Tesco, Lidl. I also go to Aldi, by the way. Champagne, currently on offer, £13.99. Absolute bargain. Stock up with it. That should be about 20... That should be thicker than £30, that champagne. It's a beautiful drop. Now, the NHS, is it getting better, worse, or just going across? Paul's in Stoke-on-Trent. G'day, Paul. What do you put it down to? Good morning.
Holiday, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
My view is up to... Look up the nurses and doctors, I think, first.
Do what, sir? Look up the doctors?
Look up the doctors and nurses with good pay.
Yeah. Oh, look but after them. I see. Look after them. Yes,
look
right.
Look after them, yeah. Yep. And also, provide a 24-hour service for NHS, everything connected to NHS, I think. GB surgeries or walking centres or, you know, whatever.
Right.
That's come in. You know?
Right. I mean, we often have arguments about junior or resident doctors, and, you know, the government would say they've had something like a 28% pay rise. You say look after them. Do you think, as regards the doctors, not necessarily the nurses, but the doctors need even more money? You would say you would give them even more then?
I would, yeah. Especially nurses, yeah, because they deserve it. I mean, they didn't get looked after last time. Bad, I reckon, last time, I think.
The last time you tried to contact your GP, because a lot of this conversation is on the fact that half of people who were surveyed said that they put it off because they can't get through. How well or otherwise did your last experience with the NHS go?
My GP is good, kind of good. You know, I get appointments a few weeks
really?
Ahead. And, you know, that's, you know, sort of checkups on blood pressures and things, blood tests, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's quite good, my doctor's surgery is, but... That's my view about 24-hour service. One day we'll have to come to that, because it's a 24-hour yep. nation, so that should come in. So.
I do think the enormous pressure... Thanks, Paul. May you not need the NHS for many, many weeks, months, years. I do think the fact that some doctor's surgeries, not all, but some, if you don't get ill between effectively 9 and 5 on a weekday, you're in, literally, a world of pain. Because they just think that you can only get ill Monday to Friday, 9 through 5, and guess what? Life is not actually like that. We'll talk more about the health service. But in the first hour of the show, and understandably lauding the fact that the government has helped bring down the cost of energy, that price cap level, we spoke with Ed Miliband. Now, he's on talking about Ofgem, as I say. He announced that there'll be about £10 a month, but... Noting that the Prime Minister has an article on the LBC app today in which the job is not yet done and they will continue to wage and fight against the cost of living. I ask more about that claim that they're tackling the cost of living crisis when the reality is, like you, when I go through supermarkets, the prices are still sky high.
Let me say this to you. I think this dates back probably 18 years to the financial... I mean, it's ever since the financial crisis...
What, the price of chocolate?
No. Ever since the financial crisis of 2008, people have been facing a long-term affordability crisis. And look across the board at what we're doing. Raising the minimum wage to help people. Taking action on childcare to help people.
It doesn't feel like that in Morrison's and Asda, though. Do you know the price of a Mars bar?
I'm not going to get into a quiz
no,
questions with you.
Politicians are so removed from reality. You don't know the price of a Mars bar.
I'm not going to do the Nick Ferrari quiz, I'm afraid.
Christmas? What do you do for Christmas?
I've grown out.
Politicians are removed from reality. That is what my listeners will say.
I know
nice bloke, Ed Miliband, nice bloke, but when did he last go to Sainsbury's? That's what they'll say.
I know the reality that people face. I know the reality that the people face, Nick. And the reason we're taking the action we are...
How much
is because,
a pint of milk?
Oh, stop it.
Right.
The reason, you know, the Nick Ferrari pub quiz is sort of available somewhere else.
Yeah.
The reason, but this is a serious point.
Yep.
The reason, I've said to you before that, you know, what has been the problem of Britain of the last decade or more? It's been run for the wealthiest and powerful. It hasn't been run for ordinary people, ordinary working people, who really, really struggle. And that's what we're trying to change. Now, can it be done overnight? But hang on. Wait. Come on. Don't be too interrupting. But you, and can we change it overnight? No. I think what people want to know is we get the problem. We get that the cost of living crisis is the number one issue, and we are trying to do something about it and trying to make a difference, and there's some relief. And that's the way I'd describe today. Some relief for people, some necessary relief for people.
But as I push my trolley round Lidl, and that's been proven, or Tesco, it doesn't feel like, or Sainsbury's. Linda in Kidsgrove, what's the reality for you, Linda? Good morning.
Well, I'm sort of going off on another topic.
Okay.
I live in the Midlands. I live in the Potteries.
Yes.
And pot banks are going to the wall, Nick.
Sorry.
Our jewel of the crown, Wedgwood's, was laid off for 3 months.
Right.
It's come back again. They're going to lay 100 people off.
Yes.
A local engineering works that has been going for 60 years.
Right.
It's gone bankrupt. So you tell me, Miliband is an idiot with these green policies. I wish to God he'd come round here and see what it's like. People in the Potteries work damned hard, Nick, and we come from a long line of people who could get a job from one pot bag to another, and it is gone. Even Moorcroft.
But help me with this. Sorry, Linda, we're still buying plates and cups and saucers and mugs.
No, we're not, Nick.
Well, we are.
If you spot a person that lives in the Potteries, they will turn an item of china over to see where it's made.
No,
and it's locally. It's not made in the Potteries, it's made in China.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. So what's gone wrong? Because people are still buying mugs and teacups, but why are we not making them at home? That's the point I was trying to get to.
Yeah, because of the cost of energy. It's gone through the roof, not just for households, but for engineering, for manufacturing. We just don't make anything in this country.
What about, and I know you've been talking about, when you go, the cost of living, when you go down to your supermarket or you do it...
It's shocking. Three small items cost me £5.70, and I couldn't see what the hell I'd bought. It was a bag of frozen mash, a box of cereal, and a bottle of lemon squash, £5.70. No, it's just everything. It affects the energy, affects everything from raw materials to working. What the hell are we going to do in this country? We don't make anything. We don't manufacture anything.
And we just ship it all in from China, as you say. Thank you for that. This is what you're saying on the emails and the texts. Craig says the £117 price cap on energy bills is a ploy by Labour to attempt to claim they're dealing with the cost of living crisis. How stupid do they think we, the electorate, are? Do remember to sign them. Mark simply says, let's open up these new oil and gas fields. Miliband has no idea. We'll talk more about the cost of living. Tracy, I'm going to talk to you about the NHS. I think you have a problem with... You were trying to go online, but we'll take it to the other side of the news if we can, when I can give you a good run at it. And we're also off to that key constituency. An electoral upset on the way in Gorton and Denton. We'll have a report. It's 9:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. The news with Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Energy Secretary has rejected claims that politicians are out of touch with families struggling with the cost of living. Ed Miliband's told LBC that the 7% drop in the energy price cap from April will help those struggling to make ends meet. Separately, Sir Keir Starmer's told LBC, despite the drop in the price cap today, he won't stop until bills are down for good. The Prime Minister has admitted that too many households are struggling with the cost of living. You can read Sir Keir's exclusive article on the LBC app. And President Trump has used his annual State of the Union address to double down on his promise to impose global tariffs. During the record 1 hour and 47 minute speech, he claimed other countries are happy with his trade levies. LBC weather: outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
We're going to go inside the arrest of Lord Peter Mandelson and bring you insights into his own thoughts on what happened to him.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maclis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC.
When an offender is released, the probation service keeps them on track so they can find a place to live, which gives them the stability to say no to old habits, making them more likely to attend their supervision meetings. And all of that ripples out to make the community a better place to live. Search probation service jobs to find out more. An extraordinary job done by someone like you.
Do you dream of a drive where every traffic light is green? Or perfectly parking into the last space at first attempt? Well, here's to driving the dream. For a limited time, get an extra £1,000 off selected Honda models. And that's on top of our current offers. Visit your Honda retailer and order between February 13th and 9th of March. Honda, the power of dreams. Selected Honda models registered by 31st March 2026. Retail customers only. T's and C's apply. Visit honda.co.uk or your local Honda retailer.
It's easy to forget just how crazy things have been over the past couple of years. Every day we wake up to something new. Tariffs and taxes on anything and everything. It's tempting to put your hands in your ears and go, la 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 la, I can't hear you, until it's all over. But you know what's the best response to crazy times? A plan for your money. And Quilter can help. Because let's face it, there's probably going to be some crazy times ahead too. Money needs a plan. Quilter. Pensions, investments, advice. Find out more at quilter.com.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom, Go-Karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Wood, and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at nutcatch.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Right, let's talk a little bit about the NHS. Sam, I'm afraid we've lost Tracy. I do apologise. We'll try and get to you later, but Sue in New Forest is standing by. The last time you had contact, how's it going? Has it got better under Labour, as Wes Streeting would say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Hello. No, I'm talking to you from my sick bed.
Oh, dear.
I'm in the middle of everything with the National Health at the moment. And the Animar app that we have to sort of go through to get to a GP, it's a nightmare. I'll just tell you very briefly. I won't mention any names. I phoned 111 on a Sunday 2 weeks ago. I was in extreme pain, and I've got osteoporosis, and I was very worried that I'd fallen and done something to my back. Anyway, cutting it all a long story short, I was sent to A&E, and I was there all Sunday afternoon and into the evening, of course, which is part of the course. They were all very kind, very helpful, all the rest of it down there. Now, when they did the discharge papers, they said to me, we'll forward these to your GP. Well and good, and off I went. Monday, I expected them to have got a prescription for me, which they'd, because I was in severe pain, they've got this.
Do you mind my asking, and you don't have to tell me, because obviously it's on the radio, but just briefly, you know, where is it hurting? You don't say if you don't want to tell me.
No, it's all over. And the thing is, my lower back especially.
Ah,
anyway,
right.
The thing is, they did all the tests at the hospital, sent me home, and they told me to speak to the GP. Anyway, the thing is, for the next 2 days, nobody knew anything about it. They had no notes with the GP. Come Wednesday, we finally got some notes.
Right.
And they could do prescribe things for me, but it was such a long, drawn-out thing. And then shortly after that, I still became worse, actually. It was really painful.
Right.
And they diagnosed that I'd got a water infection, which I don't mind mentioning.
Oh, right.
The thing is, that makes you feel dreadful.
It also makes you feel a bit dizzy as well, doesn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, anyway, the last of the antibiotics finished tomorrow, so I'll see how I go. But the other thing I wanted to say to you was, you were talking about Tesco and Lidl and all these things.
Yes.
At one time, I mean, I was born in 1947, so I'm an
old. Oh, right. Gosh. Right.
Yep. I remember you from the big boys' days, the big boys' breakfast day.
You've been with me for a few years.
I've been with you a long time.
That's a previous life. Yeah, go
yeah,
on.
That's right.
Gosh.
But,
27 years you've been listening to me.
And now followed you through man and boy. thing is, you know, at one time people would go.
Marriages.
You know. I know, tell me about it. Lidl and Aldi.
Yeah, when you go shopping. Yeah, have you noticed? I mean, the government said, let me ask you this, Sue, and I'm sorry that you're not 100%, and I wish you nothing but a speedy recovery. When you hear the government say, look, we're aware of it, we're working, we're trying to, it just doesn't, I don't know about where you are, but sometimes you go to a supermarket and they put anti-theft devices on a bar of on a block of cheese.
Oh, they even do down here, in New Forest. I mean, we've got lots of Elders and littles around between Southampton and Bournemouth. Mm. And I was just going to say, at one time, it was really not the thing to say you went shopping at Lidl. I mean, you know, people would walk about buying shopping and putting it in there in Waitrose or
Harrods
bag.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I know you've been seen a lot in Lidl, but we've got the Ferrari garage just along the road from me.
Yes.
And you wouldn't believe how much it extends. Takes over shops next door. Obviously, there's a waiting list.
These are for Ferrari cars, are they?
That's right. And they're beautiful, beautiful things. But there you are.
Well, I'm grateful you phoned in. Listen, get better. I'm very sorry that you're having those problems, and it shouldn't be like that. And God, thank you for all the years. You've been me through so much. Death of mother and father and divorce and God knows what else. Sue, look after yourself. Be well. Thank you. Elaine says, I used to pop into Watford General Hospital, take a ticket, get my blood test in about 45 minutes, and my GP would get the results in less than 48 hours. Now I have to book online. The earliest appointment is usually 5 to 7 days wait, and another 5 days before my GP gets the result. Is this an improvement? I'm asking you, remember, whether you think the NHS has improved, gone backwards, or stayed the same under Labour. Talking of Labour, I spoke with Ed Miliband in the first hour of the show. He was talking about the price cap for energy. But he also said that the government is aware and is doing all it can to drive down the cost of living crisis. And I wonder whether that was actually true. Gerry in Croydon says of Ed Miliband, he's the reason why the rot set in the Labour Party. His disastrous leadership is why many people stopped voting Labour. He's the reason why Brexit was able to happen. David Miliband would have won the 2015 election. And that is my view. Gerry, do keep him coming on that. One other thing we discussed during the show, which I want to come back to, and in a way, this has shades of what we were talking about in the previous hour, which is the growing support for the Green Party. If you weren't listening, national polls now show that what I call the heritage parties, Conservative and Labour, in the most recent polls, or indeed the poll of polls, actually, if you put their vote share together, you get to 34%. 34%. If you put Reform at 26%, and Green at 19%, if you put those together, well, absolutely vastly override. So I was talking about what's gone on in the state of politics, because surely you'll allow that Reform is extreme to one side, and Greens, with some of their suggestions and some of their policy documents, I stress the word documents, that are appearing in the paper, and some of the allegations of their behaviour in an upcoming by-election, they are fairly to the extreme. So what's happened in the middle? What's happened to a true Green policy? One of which is intriguing, is so as they get more votes in that area, what about the subject of air travel? Now, if you were listening in the first hour, a record 302 million passengers travelled through UK airports last year. That's a 2.4% increase from 2024. And I'm happy to tell you that I count among that number. The destinations with the largest passenger numbers on flights from the UK were Dublin, Alicante, Dubai, Malaga and Mallorca. Oh, you can put me down for one of those. I did go to Dublin for the rugby last year. Did I? Yes, I did. The Civil Aviation Authority that released the figures said growth looks set to continue. Here we go. A recent survey indicates 31% of people are planning to fly more this year. So despite the taxes that they load on it, and of course one has to accept that aircraft are not particularly eco-friendly, are you going to be travelling more than you did last year? Or possibly further flight? Have you now come out of, obviously, the post-COVID slump, and you think, I've got a few quid, it's not particularly pleasant here. It never stops raining. I know the sun's out today. I'm going to get some sun. I'm going to get out of here. When the first hour of the show, referencing this, I spoke with the CEO of Heathrow Airport, Thomas Volby, and he told me how he thought the aviation sector was currently faring.
I think that, first of all, there is the demand. We see that. We have record high number of passengers at the Heathrow, but also across the UK. People want to travel. Traveling is good. Our challenge, I think, in the UK is capacity. We have been waiting for too long to get the necessary capacity, and that will limit economic growth, and hence why we are proposing a third runway, because it is absolutely needed.
So riddle me this.
a true green policy, i.e. don't clamber on board those aircraft, have a holiday at home, get the train, go to the Lake District or go wherever you want to go for your holiday. A true green policy, no. 31% of you, will I fly more this year? Possibly. I don't know. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah, fine. I will, if I can. Might not actually, a few health issues that I don't need to trouble you with. 31%. But the actual Green Party is pursuing policies such as what might or might not be happening in the Middle East or what might or might not be happening with prostitution and drugs in this country. They don't really add up, do they? We'll take your views on that in a moment, because it is the NHS, the health check that has been provided both by the Health Secretary and also, of course, that survey that was done. Emma's in Sussex. What are you going to tell me, Emma? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Hello. Nice to speak to you.
Good to have you on. What do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse.
Oh, hard work. That's hard work.
Yeah, so I've been a nurse for 3 years down here. I've worked in one ward, which has been great. Great for my learning. I've tried
what
to
ward
apply
was that?
For another job. Oh, I'm surgery.
Surgery, right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've since tried to apply for another job, which I got an interview for in January. Didn't get the job.
What would that was that a promotion? Was it a different hospital? Was it a different ward? Tell me a little bit of what you were going for.
So, currently I'm working inpatient surgery.
Mm-hmm. Do you work in theatre then?
No. I'm sort of like post-operative.
Post-op, okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I've tried to apply for sexual health outpatient, completely different role.
Okay.
Brent.
Interesting.
But also, when I started nursing, I was under the impression that people could move around, you know, it was really flexible, which is one reason why you can go for it. So lots of jobs available. Mm. I didn't get the outpatient job for whatever reason. Apparently, I had a very good interview. There was just someone better than me.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then a couple of weeks ago, I tried to apply for another job in recovery. So quite similar to the role that I'm doing now, just immediately post-op. But my application was declined because I've failed the interview within the last 3 months.
Oh, God, how ridiculous.
Now I'm considering just leaving the NHS altogether.
Can I ask you this? You obviously want to move away from the ward or the team or the unit. Is it just career progression, or you're not particularly happy the hospital, don't name it, the particularly hospital that you're at? What is the sort of driving force to get on the move?
It's a bit of everything, really. I think it's a very, very busy ward. Like, my body feels stressed. I'm tired. Mm. You know, there's a lot of, like, politics, you know, everywhere you go. So I'm just sort of looking for something a little bit different, really. But because I can't... But the reason I couldn't get this... apply for this new job was that because I failed an interview within the last 3 months. So that means I now can't apply for another job within the NHS until April, and then I have to work a month's notice, and I don't think I can stay there on that ward until May.
Right, okay. Let me ask you this. How many years have you been a nurse?
3 years.
Is it everything you hoped it would be? When you were a young woman thinking, I'll tell you what I think I'm going to be, I want to be a nurse. Was mum a nurse? Was dad a nurse? What attracted you?
No. None of my family were nurses. And actually, I went to uni when I was 27, so I was classed as a mature student. So I came into it quite late. But it's hard work. There are no perks to nursing. The shift work is awful.
Right.
I think maybe if I was, you know, started in my 20s, it would have been a good position to start off in, but...
I see. Okay.
It's not.
What do you think, lastly, what do you think you'll do then?
I have no idea.
What would interest you? I mean, you've got all that experience. I know it's 3 years, but my God, you'll have seen a few things in 3 years. You'll have been in some extraordinary situations and had to make some pretty tough decisions. Mm. Just think of the knowledge that you've accrued. What are you going to do with that?
I don't know, because even if I went for a job that took in degree holders, my degree's very specialised, and I'd also have to start right on the bottom rung. So
what is your degree?
Adult nursing.
Ah, okay.
So I know that if I went into a completely other job role, that I wouldn't be getting paid. Yeah, I wouldn't be getting paid the same amount, and I've got a mortgage.
Yes.
You know, looking to start a family soon, so. You know, all things are sort of forcing me into staying where I am, but
you're not happy and you want to move. Emma, thank you, and I hope it resolves itself. That's all I can say, really, on that. We talked about travelling and the fact that more of you are going flying more this year. Chris in Greenwich, the shambles of the European Union fingerprint photo saga is a factor stopping a lot of people. No airport country is the same. Rollouts differ. It's a total mess. If it was standardised, more people would be travelling. Emma says, as regards the NHS, I've been trying to get my little girl an appointment for a skin condition that won't go away. I've been to the pharmacy. The creams don't work. I've been to the GP over the last year. The prescribed creams don't work. I've tried to get an appointment. The problem isn't getting better, and all I get is, because it's not an emergency, I can't have an appointment. There are no pre-bookable appointments. I've tried online, told to book an appointment. I've tried calling. The message I got is, we're not taking any more calls. That's the message I keep getting. That's the frustration, Maria. You were going to talk about the NHS, and also, after the news...
Voters go to the polls tomorrow in what could be one of the most significant by-elections in recent years. I'm LBC's Liam Gotting in Gorton and Denton.
And Liam will file his report after this. Let's get the 9.45 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to LBC, the Energy Secretary has rejected claims politicians are out of touch with families struggling with the cost of living. Sir Starmer has exclusively told LBC, despite the drop in the energy price cap, he won't stop until bills are down for good. And President Trump has used his annual State of the Union address to double down on his promise to impose global tariffs. LBC weather. Outbreaks of rain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Dry, sunny and very mild for large parts of England. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the M1 southbound, pretty much all the way from Junction 14 at Milton Keynes to 12 at Flitwick after two separate accidents. Lengthy queues continue on the M25 anti-clockwise from Junction 30 at the A13 to just after 28 at the A12. It's because of the emergency repair works where one lane stays closed. Also delays just north of King's Cross. The Caledonian Road remains closed both ways after that burst water main that happened yesterday. In Witton, there are delays on the Chertsey Road, eastbound to the Hospital Bridge roundabout. That's after an accident. And in Enfield Lock, Ordnance Road is blocked both ways. There's a problem with the level crossing barriers.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
It's not easy being green, said Kermit the Frog, but it is, in Britain, increasingly popular. How come? And why can't British graduates get jobs?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
A message from TfL.
I saw him in the local news a few days after. His name's Rakesh. They had to put him into a coma. Just because I didn't look again at that turning. He had two kids. How did I not see his bike ahead of me? Well, I didn't look again. He didn't make it.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
The Hillary sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
And now your travel news. It's starting to look a bit congested on the A4872 southbound. We're hearing reports people are slowing down to look at the Volkswagen Transporter sales event. Apparently you can get £1,500 off any new Transporter. That's any variant, any trim, and any colour until the 31st of March. Now that's a deal worth queuing for. Search VW Transporter offers. UK retail customers 18 plus. Discount applies to price of all new Transporters ordered by 31st of March and delivered by 30th of June.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
All eyes then on Gorton and Denton constituency in Manchester tomorrow as people there head to the polls. The by-election came about after Labour's Andrew Gwynn stepped down as an MP, citing ill health. And all the parties, of course, vying. This could be a considerable factor or feature of the future of the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. Well, LBC's Liam Gotting has been speaking with some of the candidates, and I'm sure some constituents too, and has filed this report.
Gorton and Denton is historically one of the biggest Labour strongholds you'll find anywhere in the country. The party has comfortably held the seat for decades, but there is a serious risk that Labour could be ousted this time around as the Greens and Reform surge ahead in local polling. The Prime Minister is relying on Angeliki Stozier to maintain Labour's hold on this seat. I met her in Longsight Market.
Slowly, people are going to start feeling the effects. So from the 1st of April, we are raising minimum wage, lowering bills by £150, but we need to go further and faster. I've lived here, I know the community very well, and I have a track record for delivering for local people as a councillor.
Afterwards, I asked people around Longsight Market who they might vote for and why, but the overwhelming feeling I got was one of apathy.
There's not here no more. It used to be a nice good market. There's now here. There's nothing here for no one. I don't vote for anybody, I never have done, and I never will. I think they're all a load of
Reform are looking to capitalise on this apathy and convince voters that they are a new kind of political party. They're leading the polls nationally, and their candidate Matt Goodwin told me he's not surprised people are feeling this way.
Last night, I knocked on the door of a lady. I said, how are you going to vote? She said, no, I don't vote. Everybody's promised me everything. They've never delivered. I understand it. I can feel it. If you actually want to tear this country apart, then you should be doing what the Labour Party and the Greens are doing, that we live with open borders. They're talking more about Gaza than they are Gorton and Denton. Or they want the legalisation of drugs, which would be a complete and utter disaster for places like Gorton and Denton.
And while Reform is causing Labour a headache on their right, the Greens are proving to be just as big of a headache on their left. Most bookies currently have them as the favourites to win this by-election. Their candidate Hannah Spencer believes they're the natural alternatives for disillusioned Labour voters.
They've become complacent and assumed that everyone is just going to vote Labour forever. That's changed so much in the last 18 months. People's trust has been abused. People feel let down. And they were told last time, like, vote tactically to keep the Conservatives out. But actually, there's not really been much change since Conservative austerity and Labour austerity. And people aren't stupid. People are seeing that. And they're feeling the effects of it because our bills are going up and life is even harder to live now.
Gorton and Denton has some of the highest levels of deprivation anywhere in the country. And it wasn't always that way. This area used to be home to a thriving textiles and manufacturing sector. Denton Hats is a remnant of that time. It's run by Steve Cossey, who told me he doesn't have faith in any party.
We just need somebody who's going to put their arms around Gorton and Denton and say, I'm going to make this place better, rather than tell us what the other people are going to do. It could go either way, to be honest. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll probably vote for Labour because they haven't given me a reason to, but perhaps the other two haven't neither.
Conservative candidate Charlotte Cadden has been campaigning hard on the grooming gang scandal, leaning on her 30 years of experience in the police, while Lib Dem candidate Jackie Piercy is positioning herself as the only true local candidate candidate who knows the area, having lived in the constituency for four decades. But from speaking to people in the streets, it seems clear to me that this is a two-horse race between Reform and the Greens. But on the flip side of that, there doesn't seem to be much love for either of those parties either. And is that the central problem for Sir Keir Starmer's government? They're pushing voters into the arms of these other parties, not because they love these other parties, but simply because people in these old Labour heartlands don't recognise the Labour Party anymore. Liam Gotting, LBC, Gorton and Denton.
LBC's Liam Gotting reporting. Now, having spoken with the main candidates, the other candidates in the seat are Hugo Wills for the Communist League, Joseph Omar, Rejoin EU Party, Sebastian Moore, Social Democratic Party, Dan Clark, the Libertarian Party, Nick Buckley, Advance UK, and Sir Oinkelot, the official monster raving loony party. Right, let's come back to the state of the NHS, which is no laughing matter. Maria is in Balham. You're on the radio, Maria. How are you? How was the NHS Hello. Last time you had contact? Is it getting better? Good morning.
Good morning. My mum just came out of surgery on yesterday. She waited 10 years. She had...
10 years?
10 years, and I've waited 9 years.
Might I ask what her condition is?
She's 90 this year, and she had goldstones in her stomach.
Goldstones.
And, goldstones, but they were ducted into her liver.
Right.
She was in so much pain, and the doctors just kept telling her, I'm sorry. They did take her to surgery about 2 years ago, but they said her oxygen level wasn't good, and then she was on a waiting list, and she actually got surgery after 10 years on Monday, just gone now. And I just found it really hard.
How now, is she?
They basically took her off the bed. They let her stay the night because her oxygen wasn't very well, and then they put her into the discharge lounge, and they told her to wait, and I went to collect her yesterday,
yeah.
And she's in a lot of pain. She's 90 years old, and she had keyhole surgery in four different places because she had so much goldstones in her stomach.
And so have you got her home?
She's home now.
Right.
And I went to hospital yesterday after numerous amounts of going to the A&E in so much pain, calling my GP, couldn't get an appointment. Then they did one x-ray. They said there was a shadow about 3 years ago.
Right.
Then I was in so much pain, I couldn't move. I was screaming.
Listen, I'm terribly sorry. We're out of time. All I can do is wish you a recovery. I'm sorry to hear all of that. So best of health to you and your mother. And best of health, Ash. I'm sorry, we haven't got time to take your call. I do apologise. I know you're a consultant surgeon and you're going to talk about the NHS. Thank you for that. Just fit in one email that I have got time for, which is on the idea. More and more people are flying. Kev in Norwich said the cost of living is going up, yet more people are planning to take more flights abroad. Shows how many people don't really know what poverty is. That possibly tracks back to the conversation that we had about Ed Miliband saying with that Ofgem price cap that they are tackling in part, but there's still a long way to go, isn't there? But I've got way to go now because it's the end of my show. James O'Brien's waiting the other side of the news, of course. If you missed any of the show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's it. Until tomorrow. James O'Brien, the other side of the news. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. I learned from one newspaper this morning that the Greens plan to hand illegal migrants a free house, a wage and NHS care, which is extraordinary, really, because if you spend even a nanosecond in some corners of social media, or indeed if you were to follow the editorial line of newspapers like the one I'm looking at, then you've been told for years that Labour Council have been doing that all along. Is it possible that they are just spouting undiluted bilge once again? But of course what it tells us, because the story I allude to is on a front page, is that they, and you can insert who or whatever you want into that phrase, are getting very, very worried by the increasing popularity of the Green Party. And I wonder whether you can tell me why.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the average energy bill is going to fall by £117 in April. The regulator Ofgem has announced it will cut the price cap by 7%. Energy Secretary Ed Miliband has told LBC it's because of decisions made in the budget.
This is obviously really good news and will be welcome for many of your listeners. It's happening because of the decisions that the Chancellor took in the budget, in particular to raise taxes on the wealthiest in order to fund some of the costs.
Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC he won't stop until bills are down for good. The Prime Minister says he accepts lots of households are still feeling the pressure from the cost of living crisis. You can read Sir Keir's exclusive article on the LBC app. Lawyers for Peter Mandelson say he was arrested over a baseless suggestion that he was a flight risk. The former government minister was questioned earlier this week on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He's previously denied wrongdoing over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump has used his state of the Union address to say he'll continue imposing tariffs on other countries. That's despite last week's Supreme Court ruling that overturned his import tax policy. The US president says countries are happy with his tariffs. Tory frontbencher Andrew Bowie has told LBC the UK shouldn't retaliate.
The very last thing we need as a country is to get engaged in a trade war with the United States of America. Look, I'm an old school free and fair trader. I believe that free trade has brought prosperity to parts of the world. And I think that we need to encourage the United States of America to go back to its roots as the bastion, as the champion of free trade, because it makes everybody better off.
The NHS says it secured a rescue package of bone cement to avoid delays to hip and knee replacements. There had been worries that global supply issues could lead to longer waits for surgery. And the man with Tourette's, who shouted a racial slur at the BAFTAs, has given his first interview. John Davidson says he felt a wave of embarrassment and shame after what happened at the ceremony. The campaigner and inspiration for the film I Swear shouted the word during a presentation by black actors Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 97 points at 10,778. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 17. The weather, a mild day for the south and east of England. Some rain expected for Scotland and parts of western England and Wales. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lottie Morley.
British Gas have this thing. We call it home care. We'll fix all sorts and it's unlimited repairs. Expert engineers will solve the upset of boilers not boiling or taps that won't wet. Electrics playing tricks or a pipe that's broke. We're there for everyone, even blue furry folk. Your home won't feel booby-trapped. It'll feel just like new. British Gas, taking care of things and looking after you. T's and C's apply. Excess options available per repair.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
I think we might have peaked already. Having a conversation about the Green Party, it's not the best joke in the world, and it is kind of obvious, but I don't know if you heard the little trail that is played out towards the end of Nick's programme. I suggested what might be coming up at 10 o'clock on LBC, and I said, "It's not easy being green," said Kermit the Frog, "but in Britain, it's increasingly popular." I think we might have peaked. We've got 3 hours ahead of us. I'm not sure that we're going to scale the somewhat dismal heights of wordplay and wit. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Keith. I don't know that we're going to improve on that. It's up to you. It's entirely up to you whether we improve upon that in the course at least of the next hour, because it is Wednesday, which means PMQs will be upon us at 12 noon. And I've got a couple of fascinating guests. Well, Simon Marks, obviously, and another fascinating guest for you in the final half an hour of the programme. But it is to the first hour that I would turn your attention first. We have to tread a little carefully. There is a by-election unfolding tomorrow, as you will be aware. So we wouldn't even be able to have this phone in tomorrow. It is a curious facet of our unwritten constitution, or of broadcasting regulations at least, that when a ballot is underway in this country, you can't really, if you do what I do for it, the newspapers can print whatever they want. They can stick a front page banner headline telling you who to vote for, but we can't do anything once the ballots are open. And that's part of the reason why we invented Mystery Hour, actually. in order to be guaranteed at least 1 hour where we won't be running the risk of an Ofcom breach, a breach of Ofcom regulations, or at least we'll be running a much lower risk than we would ordinarily. And it is partly because of that by-election, but more because of the national political picture that I want to turn your attention for the first time to the Green Party as it is in its current form, led by Zach Polanski. Now, I wonder whether we already have a problem. I wonder whether you are already thinking to yourself, why is it the first time? This party, in its current guise, has been bubbling away with an increasing degree of enthusiasm for some time. I mean, arguably, long before Zach Polanski became leader, but since he became leader, they have begun to reach parts that previous incarnations of the Green Party have failed to reach. The latest polling from tomorrow's by-election, and a full list of candidates is available at lbc.co.uk, it is pretty close to a three-way tie between the Greens, Reform and Labour. And as it stands on the most recently published poll of likely voters, it is the Green Party that is just a couple of points ahead of the other two. Kemi Badenoch continuing, what do they call it, the Kemi naissance or something, leading the Conservatives to a storming single figure poll on that, remains to be seen. And it's obviously a moment for reflection, but more importantly, and I hate this, you know I hate this, it's as if I am a dog who is wagged by his tail, even as I hate the fact that I am a dog being wagged by my tail. I hate the way in which the ludicrous right-wing media in this country, the hideously biased cheerleaders for the four donkeys of the Krapopolips, that's not quite, is that up there with the, it's not easy being green? Maybe we didn't peak too early, but anyway, that's a repeat. The four donkeys of the Krapopolips, Boris Johnson, Brexit, Liz Truss and austerity, cheered to the rafters by almost everybody whose name you know in the UK media. There'll be a couple of people whose names you don't know or who you'd have to check in on who were getting it right from the start. But if you are successfully positioned in the UK media, if you are prominent enough, well paid enough, big enough, then you will have probably had to, or you will be stupid enough to have done it voluntarily, been cheerleaders for the four donkeys of the Krapopolips. You'd have been very much in favour of austerity because, reasons. You'd have been very much in favour of Boris Johnson. You'd have been very much in favour of Brexit. And you'd have been convinced that Liz Truss was a political and economic genius. And, of course, those are the people whose names you know. Make a list of all the columnists, all the commentators, all the commentators, all the broadcasters, maybe even some online figures who are on that side of UK politics. And we will be here until next Tuesday. Make a list of everybody vaguely prominent on the other side of UK politics, the people who've been proved right about Boris Johnson, Brexit, Liz Truss and austerity, and we'd barely get to the 10:15 break. We may not even get to 10 past 10, so tiny and short is that list. And so I hate the fact that the people on the other side of the political divide set the conversational agenda in this country, but they do. And sometimes we push back against it successfully, and on other days we can't, because when they start going for something, you realise that it is evidence of significance. Green's plan to hand illegal migrants free house, a wage and NHS care is on the front page of your Super Sore Away Daily Mail today. And you open up the newspaper and you find Michael Gove's ex-wife describing the biggest creep in British politics as someone other than her ex-husband, which is bold, isn't it? And migrants will never be deported under Greens, based upon some documents that they claim to have discovered, but not based upon anything